The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? You shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school. What? Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like,
ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. And speaking of dogs, those Northeastern cheerleaders.
Oh,
wow. I mean,
true huskies.
I mean, in a school that size, you can't do any better than that. Oh, man. Anyway, they were worse than the game. And so we are here. Eric's here, back from Africa. Robert Redford returns from Africa, and we'll talk about that later. But
Conclave, yes, Conclave is on the
best
agenda
thing you ever
today.
Did.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so we'll talk about that later.
Proving yet again he's a virgin.
Andy's here. Paul is not.
No, he may be dead.
Paul might not come back.
Yeah,
that'd be funny if you went to Africa and survived and came back, and Paul died in Richmond.
Paul was at the game last night, the CAA
that.
Conference basketball game. Northeastern was in the finals, and they lost. They got drubbed for most of the game. A game dominated by James Madison fans. There weren't many Northeastern fans in the crowd aside from Paul.
Well, that's a normal Northeastern crowd.
At one point, I think Northeastern hit a bucket, and I heard, science! There was that few people.
And it was a 7 o'clock tip, and Paul had nothing to do all day, so I'm sure plenty of Miller Lights were
How
glowing.
Do you distinguish between large and small Northeastern crowds?
Right. Well, anyway.
25 is large, 22
Paul,
is small.
Paul was there, and he's not back yet. He's somewhere in Richmond, Virginia, wandering around.
I bet you he's like Frank the Tank when he went streaking the next, and he was just running around with no clothes on.
No one following.
For a KFC.
Yeah. It just never ceases to amaze me how he has.
KFC's still open?
He has such disdain for people who act like fans, and yet there he is.
And he was talking, as I said to you, he was talking trash on Twitter about like James Madison student fans.
Right, right.
They came out of their hole or something.
At least they're students of the school that
they're
supporting.
45-year-old bald, fat, married guys.
Who didn't go to the school.
Right,
right. He didn't go there. Anyway, so we'll talk about that later. But the most important thing we need to talk about is, of course, free agency, which opens up at 5 o'clock tonight.
Four
o'clock tonight. I'm still on the Eastern Savings Time.
You had one piece of information to get out there, and you got it wrong.
It opens tonight, and this tampering window thing is ongoing. And you know, things have already happened. There was a big trade yesterday from the Ravens over to the 49ers.
Two big trades.
Percy Harvin going to
Seattle.
You know, this is interesting. I love
a big rivalry brewing over there in the NFC West.
I'd love
huh?
to see more trades. I think trades are you know,
and the Revis one is supposedly sort of kind of coming to a head.
Yeah, but we don't know what team they're talking to.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's not this one.
They said they're trying to get it done relatively quickly. And it sounds like both sides would like to get it done relatively quickly. And then I saw a tweet from maybe your guy, Meta, that it may not even be
Meta
a first.
World Peace.
I don't know how Percy Harvin can get a first-round pick and Darrelle Revis can't. I mean, I'm sorry.
Does Harvin already have a contract?
No.
Oh, okay.
Reports are he's going to sign a deal that could be, well, he has a contract. I mean, they both have contracts,
yeah,
but they're both looking for
They wouldn't make the trade unless they were getting the new
contract.
Right,
and he was going to get $12 million a year or something, and Wallace is going to get $13 million. The numbers are ridiculous. I'm sorry, none of you are Calvin Johnson. You're all limited.
Yeah.
You know, Harvin's a slot receiver with, you know, the migraines and an attitude problem. He's never been like a 15, 20 touchdown guy. And Mike Wallace, yeah, you're a deep threat with a nice yards per catch average, but you're kind of limited. You're not this precise route runner. Calvin Johnson does it all. So what he should be the highest, and then you other Jamoke should fall in below, but they're all getting, it's crazy.
And what happens next year? Does Calvin Johnson want to be restructured?
Well, I'm not saying he's not
imagine.
Making good money, but I just...
No, but he'll probably look at their salaries
right,
and say... Eh,
sooner or later. Yeah. But we're going down the road of what we talked about last week. The NBA got in trouble because they had these max contracts, and they started giving max contracts to guys who were nowhere near max players. And the NFL is going down that road where these guys who are good but not great are going to get 12 and 13 million. You know, even Bill Parcells was quoted for Revis as saying 15 million
for a
corner, not me.
Yeah, but see, I think the value of a cornerback, he's thinking back in the day.
Right.
The value of a cornerback's gone up in the league.
Yeah. I agree 100%, especially for Revis, because it's Revis and everybody else.
Right.
But if it does that, well, where does quarterback go?
Sure.
And then it's just, it's never ending. And supposedly we have flat caps for a couple of years.
Right.
Before there's it's just crazy money. Crazy.
It's crazy money.
And maybe crazy the other way.
Yeah.
We may look at some other deals. If the Patriots and some of these other teams are right, you know, after all this crap kind of settles, maybe we're saying, wow, you got him for $2 million or you got him for,
right.
Wow, that's a crazy low deal. That's a steal. We may be saying that in a week or two. Who knows?
Yep. So that's, you know, so, okay, so we've got the Harvin trade,
the Bolden trade,
you know.
We'll call it the Harbaugh brothers trade.
Right, so, you know.
Which a lot of people are up in arms over.
That NFC West.
That sucky, you know, NFC West,
right,
according to
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, I know.
Right. they're really being aggressive out there. And then we're,
which
you know,
is how I think, you know, that's what people want.
Oh, well, sure. For the fans.
Especially if you can. I mean, don't mortgage your future.
No, exactly.
But if you
have the ability, if you have the wherewithal, do it.
Anquan Bolden for a sixth-round pick, a team that had 15 picks, I believe. They're a Super Bowl team. You can't make 15 picks and say, we're going to use all those. And if you have the money to pay him $6 million that the Ravens didn't want to pay him, then pay him. You've added a weapon.
And, you know, lesser talents are being released. Dan Connor got released.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Pua, is that his name, from the Jets, just got released.
It's not Shane, but...
Sione.
Oh, Sione.
Shane would be if he was coming to Ellis Island. We'll change that to Shane.
Sione Pua got released.
Another big pass rusher name that is potentially going to be on the market is Doomerville. He's in a... restructure mode, and now there's talk that Freeney will go there, and they're going to release Doomerville and take Freeney to sort of fill that mold. But another pass rusher could be available as we add to the list of Abraham and Human Yora and those guys.
Patriots have to get one of these guys, I would think.
Well, and then there's been a clamor, and albeit it's from fans, for Victor Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a restricted free agent,
and so
you'd have
happening.
To give up a first-round pick. But, you know, I'm thinking, if you're not going to sign Welker, I might be willing to give up that low first-round pick and give him his money.
What's his money?
He's 6 years younger, $9-10 million a year. If you're not going to pay Welker. But maybe even if you are going to pay Welker.
Oh, I would love it if you added both.
Yeah.
Now, he's a very good player. He's more of a deep threat, yards per catch playmaker than Welker.
I think he's all over the field,
No question. He's not those little underneath option routes like Welker runs. It's a different kind of receiver. He's... You know, in the Patriots right now, he's your deep threat. He's your big play guy. He becomes.
I just don't
see
the Giants letting him go.
The question is, you want to give up the pick and pay him?
Well, that's the problem.
I'd be stunned, absolutely stunned, if that happened.
I mean, it's what we always talk about. You got to trade. You know, the Matt Cass. You got to trade a guy and then give him $60 million.
Yeah,
that's a big pill to
swallow.
Then I mean, that eats up a lot of your cap room.
Yeah,
and it takes away your first round pick that you could have used then to get a pass rusher or a corner.
Right.
Or
I don't
safety.
Know the answer to this, but I'd love to know like the history of how many guys who were given that highest tender actually ended up leaving the team.
Very few.
Yeah, I don't think it's
so.
Very much.
Last year, there was like no restricted movement. Remember Mike Wallace?
Right.
Everybody thought there'd be something, and nothing happened. And I'm sure that's what the Giants are counting on.
Right.
It'll be interesting. I mean, there was a, was it LaConfora who tweeted that the Patriots might have some interest? Or
I don't know.
He put the Patriots and Cruz sort of together yesterday, and that kind of ignited all the talk. I mean, earlier in the week it was earlier the weekend it was Wallace. You know, some interest the Patriots were going to have in Mike Wallace. Zero chance.
I mean,
I'm sorry, they're not giving $13 million a year to Mike
Wallace.
Can't
you pretty much say with 100% confidence when it comes to a guy like Mike Wallace that the Patriots would have some interest?
Yes.
I mean, what is that? Is that reporting? You know,
right.
I mean,
it's what I always say. I have some interest in a Lamborghini.
Right.
The Lamborghini dealership doesn't have any interest in me. But
right.
Yeah, but that's what this, and I don't think this lived up to what the NFL wanted, this three-day window. I'm not sure they got quite as much talk out of it, and I think they scared teams
with
that memo.
With that memo, you can't talk numbers,
right? They had all
the
these rules, right?
Hey, we'd like you, but you know we can't tell you how much we'd like you.
Yeah, there was too many. No, nothing can be agreed to, and nothing can this.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
Yeah,
how many teams do you think actually abided by that?
Well, that's the thing. Like it's weird. It's you've opened up legal tampering, but telling us to do less than we used to do when it was illegal.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do we do? Yeah, I don't even know.
The thing about it, though, is no matter how much you move up that date to where you can talk, then that'll be the date where people cheat on.
Right.
You know, so you can't win.
Well, no, because the date will always be, in my opinion, the combine.
Yeah.
Whatever that February 20, tell me that's not where things are started.
You gather that many power brokers in one place, that the conversation's going to happen.
That's where the
And they
real...
probably happen at, like, St. Elmo's.
Oh, God,
or, you know, places like that.
Sure.
Not at the combine.
Sure,
like not
at the bar.
At Lucas Oil, because they're busy doing...
Certainly. At night, early in the morning, over a coffee, just, I bumped into so-and-so. And that's where it's always going to begin, in my opinion, is whatever that February 20th.
And they might as well drop all the pretense and just have it start then.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got no problem with it.
I say it starts the day after the Super Bowl.
Why not?
I don't care. I mean, like,
give time.
What
to,
is
for
the argument
settle.
Against it? What is the argument against tampering?
It puts teams with guys on the contract at a bad position because people are effing with your players.
But it's fair for everyone.
Well, but
you're always going to be be on one side or the other.
I know.
Okay,
but,
so this year it's Welker. Well, next year it's Julius Peppers. That you're on the other side telling Peppers, yeah, I'll sign you. And then a year after that, every team is going to be on both ends of the spectrum at some point.
No, I
so
know.
It's fair.
And in the real world. That we all, the rest of us all live in, if you have a job somewhere, nobody is stopping you from going and talking to a competing company or outlet from hiring you.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
you have in your contract.
There are very few. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, certain television personalities have the non-compete thing and all that stuff.
In the tech industry, it's very big.
Yeah. But I'm saying in most walks of life, you can go and negotiate for a new job at any time with anybody.
Sure.
So why should it be any different in the NFL?
Well, because you have contracts.
Right.
That's why.
But, no, it's not just that. It's because it's the NFL. They make their own rules. It's the draft isn't really fair if you're going to use real-world terms.
You know, I see both sides. I would, I can do it, but I'd rather have it so you can't F with your other team's players.
But you can't have
And you
it
want
that
them
way.
Focused on playing football and...
Well, the season's over. I'm not saying during the season.
No, that's why I say once the Super Bowl's over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not okay with it during the season.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with, like, Bill Parcells still working for one team and talking to the other. That I'm not okay with.
Yeah.
Right.
But once the season ends for everybody, then I think it should be tamper period. Negotiate. Go.
I think so.
Don't call it tampering. Call it negotiating.
And a lot of these teams have these unspoken, we don't negotiate during the season. Well, you're going to have to start because once the season's over –
You'll have competition. If you want to keep your guy, you better negotiate in September or December.
Right. You had all year,
right.
And now the season's over. Yeah, so I don't know.
Recruiting. It's just like college recruiting. Let them recruit, and then you have the signing day.
All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're going to be depending on everyone who's listening to be up on Facebook and Twitter and letting us know any rumors that you hear, legitimate rumors, not not the, nonsense.
The guy just delivered oil to my house. He said Welker's gone.
But, the guys from ESPN and Sports Illustrated and so on, National Football Post, those guys that are on it,
what are they saying?
Here's one that Evan Silva, Roto-World guy, said that is quoting Schefter, who was just on the our TV screen here. Rams and Vikings are the two most likely teams to make an offer to Victor Cruz, who we were just talking about.
Well, the Vikings, they
makes sense
just lost
they
a
just
guy,
lost somebody.
So they have to make
And they can add a guy who's just as good, in my opinion, and not a douche.
Yeah.
Victor Cruz is a better
and
person.
And the Rams, your guy Sanchez would love to have a
sure.
Victor Cruz on his team.
He needs some weapons. From Ian Rappaport, this was 15 minutes ago. What is the latest on Patriots and Wes Welker? Welker is waiting on the Pats' next offer, maybe last before 4 p.m., hashtag free agency.
Okay, so that's
he's waiting on an offer.
So he's waiting on an offer. Now, if I had to guess, I would have thought that the offer was already made, and now Welker's just said to him, look, you know, okay, this isn't an insult, but I have an obligation to see what's out there, and if it doesn't blow me away, I'll be back to that.
Well, we might have already reached that. He may have already gotten a number from somebody and said, this is what I'm hearing out there. Denver would give me this. Houston would give me this.
I thought you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, but we all know it happens.
You couldn't agree on anything, but I believe you could throw around terms.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think you could agree on anything. I think you could kind of feel things out. And maybe he said, you know, just so you know, I got three teams that are willing to go in the 4 years, $40 million market.
Update from the aforementioned Rappaport.
Uh-oh.
You guys won't believe this. Actually, we will, because you're always unreliable. I said Wes Welker was waiting for the Patriots' last offer. Received a correction. Actually, their first offer.
Their first offer. What does that mean?
They've never made him an offer. According to the always unreliable Ian Rappaport.
That's very unclear to me.
So they've never, ever made an offer?
Right. I don't know. I don't know what that means. During this period? I don't know.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Well, why...
To which you should just reply, wait, what?
That's awesome.
And squint your eyes.
Right. It's true. Mike Giardi reported they were closing in on a long-term deal.
Right.
Was that last Tuesday, maybe?
Yes.
Now, Rappaport said they never actually made an offer.
They never
at
made
all.
An offer.
You can't, because your opening offer isn't closing. I mean, it's not going to be signed by anybody in all likelihood.
I have mild disdain for all of this.
You know what, Fred? Nobody knows anything.
Right.
Nobody has a clue.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great, though, is if, you know, all this talk of Welker and negotiating and he's going to do this and they're going to – and the Patriots haven't done nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Like, didn't even mention anything. Right. Just,
wait, free agency starts today?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Well
– that's classic Belichick.
So if that is true, let's just say that – of course they made him an offer last year. We know that. Mm. So let's just say that he's talking about this period. Are you surprised that the Patriots haven't given him an offer yet?
Yes.
I am.
Yeah, very. Wow. If that's true.
Really?
Maybe they don't want him. Maybe they just don't want him. Maybe they're ready to move on.
Robert Kraft was quoted saying
he said he really wants
him
back.
I want him to be a Patriot.
But that was Robert Kraft, the fan and the...
But I also, 2 days ago he had a quote, I'd love him to be a Patriot for life, just like Tom Brady. That means like Tom Brady's contract, probably.
Could be.
So we need something that's going to help us in the later years.
But it's also, I think that's the fan season ticket holder in Robert. You know, well, I want this guy that has caught 600 balls that I've watched over the last 6 years.
Yeah, and Freddie, to your point, Tom Brady is getting a lot of money at the end of his career or the end of the contract, but he's guaranteed a hell of a lot up front.
Oh, yeah.
So if they want to give Welker a contract like Tom Brady's, they got to give him a lot of money
front. If you handed him $33 million guaranteed, he'd say, where can I sign?
Yeah.
So if you really want to compare it to Tom's contract, let's do that. So that's where you get in trouble, but... I mean, there's a chance that they're ready to just move on, right? I mean, Paul's ready to move on. Greg Bedard, they all think, as long as he's here, Brady's going to throw to him, and the offense will never improve and grow
well,
and change.
Well, if they're ready to move on, they need to move on by getting somebody else. They can't just rely on Brandon
Amendola.
Lloyd and Matthew Slater. And yeah.
All right, so while we're waiting for some news to come in, Eric, as we said, is back from Africa. Just sounded like an incredible trip. Terry from D.C. says Patriots Nation is just dying to know how this trip.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah. They want to know how the trip was. So, Eric, the floor is yours.
I really don't even know where to begin other than to say that I've already started writing about it because there's so much to talk about that I think if I'm ever going to write a book, this is the subject that I'm going to write about. It was the best, from start to finish, the best experience I've ever had traveling.
Wow.
And I've had a lot of
traveling.
And I've had a lot of...
Yesterday it was the best thing you ever did. So it's gone down a
little
bit.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was absolutely phenomenal. The whole, I know Andy was worried about my camping inexperienced, but I loved it.
Camping. Yeah, you were luxury living.
It was luxury, but it was still out in a tent in the middle of
You did have
the
one
wilderness.
Bug in your tent.
I had a gigantic beetle that was at least 3 inches long. I didn't know what it was at first, and I originally
was it a dung beetle?
No, those are about maybe an inch. So this was literally a good 3 inches
beetle on steroids.
Long and about an inch and a half wide. And I was describing it to the staffers at the camp the next morning, and they said, "Yeah, that's one of the 1,500 species of beetle in Africa. That it's very common in that part of the Serengeti where we were, and they like the tents because they're warm and dark and kind of cozy. So it's not unusual for them to come in. But I didn't know if it was like some sort of, you know, poisonous thing. And I at first was going to be like trying to grab it and throw it out of the tent, but then I'm like, well, what if this thing bites me and I end up dying in the middle of the night.
that wouldn't be a good story. That wouldn't be as good a story as a lion. He didn't know about the lion, you know.
I knew about the lion in San Diego, was it?
Yeah, but you didn't hear about the one in Africa.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I asked you yesterday the highlight.
Yes.
Which was?
It was toward the end of the trip. We had seen pretty much everything there was to see, and lots of everything, like almost every animal species and 10 times over.
You see any of those big alligators?
Crocodiles, yes. Yeah. Huge ones, yeah. But the one thing I really wanted, which I'd seen on television a couple of times, was cheetahs to come and jump up on our vehicles. And we were sitting around the campfire the night before and saying, God, we've had so much good luck. How is this trip going to get any better? And I said, well, we still haven't had the cheetahs jumping on the truck. We need to have that.
He's negativino even there. We haven't had any cheetahs.
No, it wasn't negative. It was that we were wishing for things. And the next morning on our game drive, within a half hour, we came across the same mother and her like sort of adolescent cheetah cubs that we had seen the last couple of days. They came right up to our trucks. The mother was trying to lounge in the shade of the trucks, and the cubs started playing, running around, going underneath the vehicle, and within a few minutes, boom, one jumped on the hood of the car, the next one jumped on the spare tire in the back of the truck. They were climbing on top of we had like one of those open roof vehicles, and they were climbing on top of that, peering down into the truck.
They must get fed.
Because
why would they be so cavalier?
They hide steaks in the truck or something.
Well, it's mostly the adolescent ones. I mean, there are some older ones that do
it, right?
I mean, they're very used to it. In that part of the Maasai Mara, that part of Kenya, they're very used to the vehicles being around. So, and the cheetahs are very social type cats, as opposed to like the leopard that doesn't want any part of anybody. So the cubs started just playing around, and then we were a group of 16, so we had three vehicles where we would split up the crew every day. The vehicle right next to ours, this one cat saw an opening in the window and decided he wanted to jump inside the vehicle. So he sized it up and leapt into the opening in the window and was like scratching to try to like hold on to the cloth on the seat. And he pulled himself up onto the seat and was just kind of sitting, looking around. And then he jumped onto the roof. And we spent an hour and a half with this cheetah family. And I was literally 3 feet away from him at one point, and the one in the front was just on the other side of the windshield, and I, you know, stood up on took a downward shot of him right from the opening on the roof, and it was just so wonderful to be that close to a wild animal that was allowing us to share the space with him.
It was
unforgettable. I mean, I took a few pictures and some video, but I had to put the camera down at one point because I had to experience it with my own senses.
Did you cry?
No, but it was exhilarating. It was so exhilarating.
So it's not the Louvre.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
You didn't cry the whole trip?
No, there were a few points where I got a little emotional.
That would be funny if you started crying and the hyenas came and laughed at him.
But it was incredible. That moment was...
And the food was good?
The food was fantastic.
What kind of food was it?
African food.
Yeah, there were a lot of local dishes, but it was, I mean, I'd say it was gourmet.
But weird? Did you eat like?
Well, the last day we were there, we went to a pretty well-known restaurant called The Carnivore, which is,
What kind of meat are we getting here?
Cheetah was on the menu.
Right. Well, no, but we had.
Then he started crying.
No, we had ostrich and crocodile and some other exotic meat. And this is where I met the Andy Hart of Kenya. We're at this place. Have you ever been to Fogo de Chão, which is like one of those Brazilian steakhouses where they come around with the
There's a place in Cambridge called the Midwest Grill where it's unlimited meat and
they come around on the skewers and then just carve. All right. So it's that type of thing.
Yeah.
And they would come around. They had like five or six servers who would come around like rapid fire, each have a different thing, and they would
tell you what it is.
They'd start at the table and they would say what it is, and then they would go to each person and say, "Would you like some?" So a few servings had come by, and then finally this guy comes around and he goes, "Rocky Mountain oysters."
Oh.
And some people kind of had a little quizzical look, so he goes, "Bull's balls." and he said it just like that with the accent on the B, you know, "Bull's balls." And he goes to the first person and he goes, "Bull's balls." And the lady was like, no, thanks. And he goes, "No balls."
Oh.
And he was saying it to every person at the table. So I'm thinking, is he questioning whether or not we want the balls, or is he saying
we don't have any
balls for not accepting his offer?
But you didn't try it?
No.
Oh,
why not?
Punani.
No. Because as a fellow male, I don't really want to partake in that.
Back
kind
in
of
the
thing.
Day,
you know, I feel bad
back
for
in
the
day,
poor little
with the Spartans.
Boy.
You would eat the other man's parts to get his power.
Yeah, but that's a little as Wes Welker would say. I don't know, kind of.
I don't know about that.
So
I wouldn't have eaten.
I felt bad for the bull. I wouldn't want to. I really did, but I was laughing the whole time to myself, thinking, "This is incredible. I go as far away as I've ever been from home, and I meet a guy just like Andy Hart over here busting people up."
So nobody tried it at your table?
Yeah, there was this one kid who was.
So
like,
do you eat them or do you cut them? Like, do they give you a ball or do
they
slice
you,
it?
No, they gave you a ball and then you had to slice it, and it was. He was brave. He was a 24-year-old kid who was in
college. What did it taste like? What did it look like?
It looked like actually sausage on the inside.
Oh.
So the I'm not sausage, like a hot dog. I'm sorry, like a hot dog.
So any women?
There was one woman there who was in my age range. She was probably 30, early 30s.
So she's out.
And she was,
I love how he says early 30s is his age range.
And she was married to a guy named Eric who was on the trip.
Oh, well, she was married.
But we were, that was her little, her brother-in-law.
They were swingers?
Who tried the Bull's Balls thing. But
well, why do you bring her up? Was she a swinger? Was she
asked if there were any women on the trip.
I
yes, there was a woman on the trip.
Eligible women.
No.
No. Okay.
They were all men?
No. There were older women. There was retired couples. Oh. It was, you know, there was me, this
Sergio
guy.
It was the Manhattan's men's chorus that went on the trip.
It was me, this other guy, Eric, his little brother, Corey, and
his wife.
Group.
So she was hot.
I was 16. There were 16 of us, but those were the only people my age.
Oh.
Older people? Everyone mostly? else was mostly retired, yeah.
This kid that was 24, he must be rich, huh?
No, he was
He was part of the family.
Oh, he was part of the family. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was them and their parents who were retired, and then pretty much all the other couples were retired, and then there was one guy who was with his wife and two sister-in-laws that he brought along, and they're roughly
around
retirement age.
What's that guy doing by himself?
He's a bad guy.
Wait,
didn't make a run at the sister-in-laws? Were they?
They were retirement age.
Listen,
they might have money.
Oh my God!
When you're in the bush, Eric,
right?
You know,
and you could be going on these safaris once every like couple weeks if they're loaded.
That's right,
sugar mama.
No,
yeah,
thanks.
Boy toy. No. You ever think of
everybody
that?
Was really nice though. It was a wonderful group. We were very lucky that we had people who all got along. They were all punctual. We never had anybody complaining about anything. It was really remarkable that this group of strangers.
There weren't any curmudgeons complaining.
No, yeah. none at all.
Are you sure everybody else is saying that?
Everybody was saying it the whole trip.
Just making sure you weren't the curmudgeon.
No.
Does anyone know where the Range Rover is?
Yeah.
Did you go in Range Rovers?
We went in Toyota Land Cruisers.
Toyota Land Cruisers.
Tricked out Land Cruisers.
Okay.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really.
And they had a flushing toilet.
We did. We had the ceramic bowls in the wooden box. You were talking about the wooden box before I left. The bowl was in the box, and they had like a one of those pull chain things behind it. It was an elaborate system of the septic system for the toilets. The shower thing was those big cloth bags that they filled up with like a watering can nozzle with a handle on it, so you could start and stop the water at your leisure. They had a running sink. with, you know, that they fed through hoses through the water truck that they had out there. It was an absolutely phenomenal setup the way they did all this, and they did it for every single tent.
Right.
We had a huge tent, a dining room tent, where we had our meals every night. They had a bar that was open. You could get any kind of beverage you wanted, soft drink, alcohol.
See what I mean? This wasn't really a safari.
It was a safari.
Like a cruise in the desert.
It was just out in the middle of the...
Like, did you talk to, like, the organizers about, like, past trips where... Was there ever one where, like, somebody just got ripped, roaring, drunk, and did something stupid? And...
No, that never came up, but they did talk about how they... Almost every trip, there's at least one or two curmudgeon types who are bitching the whole time, who are always late. They never can... You know, I'm on vacation. I'm not going to get up at 6 a.m. and go on a safari. Well,
then you should have done it.
Right. Exactly. You shouldn't have done this.
Go to the Marriott.
Exactly.
Get out.
But they said they were stunned and thrilled that we had such a good and willing group to do things we wanted to do. And it turned out, I mean, that's the way you should do it, because we saw everything. We saw incredible numbers of name an animal.
Right.
And we saw
no snakes, though.
Didn't see any snakes. No
spitting cobras?
But we saw there's this thing called a secretary bird, also known as a walking eagle, which it's like a grayish type of eagle-looking bird, but it has these like five or six black feathers that stick out from the top of its head, kind of like I think they called it that because they would pluck those feathers and use them as the pen quills. This bird kills snakes by stepping on them. So we would see this bird in the grass, and every once in a while it would like... stamp its foot down, so it was finding snakes and killing them, but we never actually saw like any spitting cobras or anything like that.
Okay.
A woman did have a scorpion in her tent, though, the same night that I had the big beetle.
Is that right?
Yeah. I was explaining the beetle at breakfast the next day, and the woman was like, I had a scorpion in my tent. I had to get my staffer to come in and beat it with a shoe. And
Did they have guns?
There was a park ranger who had like a rifle, but we had the local Maasai tribe was our security force. They had their spears and shields and stuff, and it was pretty cool. They were legit.
They didn't have, like,
which
tranquilizers?
Was a little...
I mean, they were, like, if the thing, you know...
I think the ranger might have.
They had tranks?
I don't know. Yeah, but he was armed. But the tribesmen did what they always do, which is just they carry a spear and a shield, and they had some flashlights.
Naked?
No, they had those, like... I forgot the name.
It's probably off a show, and then when they're done, they go put their suit on and they go home.
Go to the bar down the street.
Right.
We went to one of their villages, and this is legit Africa. I mean, they were the huts with like straw sticks and cow dung, dried up cow dung things. That was how they built their huts. And we went inside them because they allowed us to go and see, you know, where they lived. And very Spartan, as you used that word before. Yeah. I mean, just nothing there. I mean, they just lie on the floor and on the ground, and that's how they live all the time.
They started boiling this big pot of water, and time to leave.
Dr. Livingston, I presume.
So that sounds really cool.
It was so much fun. I had trouble sleeping because I was so excited every night.
Is that what you call it these days? Anyway, okay.
God almighty.
And the flight was good?
The flights were, I was astonished because when I left, there was a little bit of snow, rain, and I didn't have much of a layover in London, so if I had been delayed, I would have been screwed. But I got there, made the connection, got to Nairobi. And on the way back, we had that big storm on Thursday, Friday, whenever it was. And I thought for sure I'd be stuck in London for the weekend. And
you were probably hoping for it.
No, I wasn't. I wanted to get home. But... We took
what
off
your
on time.
Friend over there, you would have been able to meet up with her.
We took off on time, and when we got to Boston, the runway was covered with snow, and we still landed. And I was amazed. I just couldn't believe our good fortune throughout the whole trip. It was, you know, because when you're on your way home, you just want to get home.
Just want to get home,
right?
You know,
yeah.
You don't want any problems or anything like that. And you know, you're tired. It's been a long trip, but it was better than expected.
Did I tell the story that
That's
Brian
great.
Dable doesn't really like to fly?
Who?
Brian Dable, coming back from the combine.
No.
Doesn't like to fly.
Like you don't like to fly, or even worse than?
Way worse than
a
me.
A lot of guys over the years on our team didn't like to fly.
Way worse. You know, I don't like it, but it doesn't, like, he would be like, is that a cloud? Are we going through a cloud? Are we through that cloud yet?
Oh, God.
Can we get through that cloud? Can you see the ground yet? Where's the ground? Let me know when you can
see the
ground.
He was a panicker, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like, all over the place.
I'm really bad because I used to sit next to Brian Morey, and he didn't like to fly, and I'd be like, did you hear that?
But I just think it's funny. Like, you've chosen a career where you're guaranteed to travel a pretty fair amount.
Yeah, almost every other week.
Now, he says he doesn't bother him as much on the big team charters because we were on the normal little...
Oh,
because
a small plane, yeah.
Whatever, jets.
Oh, he wouldn't have liked the safari then, because we were taking off on dirt airstrips and little twin otters. And
no bleeping way.
But that was really fun, too.
We should also mention that, Fred, you had your coaching clinic over the weekend, Friday, Saturday.
That was a great event.
And as part of that, some of our listeners, readers probably are aware, we already posted a little piece of an interview, but Bill O'Brien, who was the keynote speaker, sat down with both Scott Zolak for All Access and then myself a little bit afterwards, and you saw a tease of that interview on Patriots.com. The rest you can see this week, 7 o'clock, I believe, Channel 4 in Boston, but then at 7:30 it'll be posted on Patriots.com, the full All Access. He was very good. He's just a damn good guy.
Yeah, he's getting great reviews, obviously, in Penn State, but, you know, all the people that have coached with him over the years, and he's been around. I mean, you know, both in
Maryland,
college,
Georgia Tech, Duke, here.
Yep. So, you know, people just love seeing him back here, and he was great.
Because he's normal.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
Yeah, he's just
You say hello to him, and he says hello. Yeah. You, whatever. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
And, that's why I'm rooting for him. You know, he doesn't have to be one of these Mike Leach whack jobs or, you know, Bill Belichick, who's sort of a dictator. You know, he's Bill O'Brien, and I talked to him about this. He said, if you don't learn from Bill, it's your fault by observing. But when you leave, you got to be you. You got to take what you learned and meld it into whoever you are as a human being.
And I think the guys that kind of have trouble are the ones that try to be Bill.
Correct.
There's only one Bill.
Mm. Correct.
Just Belichick. Be yourself. Yeah. Be yourself.
Just every time you deal with Bill O'Brien, just a great guy. Now, I think he might have problems. I mean, they still have a long road ahead of them.
Oh, I don't.
In terms of sanctions and talent and winning.
I mean, if he has a modestly good year this year, it'll be an accomplishment, and then I think he's done.
Well, the problem
I think
is
he goes back to the NFL.
Well, it depends on how that buyout works. I still think, I mean, he was asked about that. You'll hear him answer about that in All Access, but I still think there's a chance he might have left now had he gotten a team to pay the buyout. He had a massive buyout.
Oh, I think you're right. But at each year, I think it goes down.
I think it was like 18. I think it may go down to 12 next year.
Right.
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah,
$12 million, and then you have to pay him.
Right.
You know, to be your coach. So it's a tough road that he, especially with Ohio State in the conference too. It's not just all the same, but. Now Urban Meyer is dominating your conference in terms of recruiting, and you have that to deal with above and beyond everything else.
Right.
But just, I couldn't root for him any harder. Good guy.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. So today is the dawn, I guess, of free agency. Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock today.
So
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Today.
Why,
why do you keep saying that?
I don't know. Why do I think it's 5?
I don't know. Everything in the NFL is always 4. 4 o'clock is always
4 o'clock Eastern.
The time.
Yeah.
4 o'clock today.
What is your viewpoint heading into this? I mean, you know, I think a lot of people want them to make a splash. Others are saying, well, they might just re-sign Welker and Tlaib. And a lot of people are taking this quiet, it's just too quiet. That means they're doing something.
I really don't think that there's any reason to rush right now. You know,
what about with Welker and Tlaib?
Oh, with your own guys.
I mean, both. I'm just asking, you know, there is a reason to rush because you still are the lone dog right now.
Well, that's
now.
Why I was shocked that if Rapoport's correct, they don't even have an offer. That's surprising.
Haven't you reached the point where if you're Tlaib or Welker, I'm going to free agency now.
Well, I'm going to see what
I have
out there.
And even if the Patriots say, well, this don't expect this offer to be here, well, okay, if that's the way you want to play it, I won't expect it to be there when I come back, but I've already dabbled a little bit in this 3-day window, so I kind of have a feel for what might be out there. And I mean, I'm 3 hours away. There's no reason to rush into it now.
Yeah. Do you think that there's more interest in Tlaib than we've been told?
I think less.
You think less? Well, I mean Patriots, and keeping him.
Oh, I think the Patriots are very interested in keeping him at the right price.
Yeah, they don't want to overspend.
Right.
But in the market, you think it's less?
They've been all over the place. I've seen him ranked as like the fifth or sixth best corner, and then I've seen other people rank him as like the third best free agent any position. I've been surprised with the variance, and most of these are media guys. I mean, some are like Bill Polian media guys, whatever. But the variance in ranking all these free agents. You know, I told you the one that had Sebastian Vollmer as the number two overall impact free agent behind Mike Wallace. I think Tlaib, you know, there's been some additions. D'Angelo Hall got released. Dante Robinson was released and then signed. I mean, there's kind of been a fluid situation there. But, you know, guys like Grimes, you know, Sean Smith is now assumed to be the best free agent on the market at corner because he's big but doesn't have the baggage that Tlaib kind of has. So I've been a little surprised. You know, now we're hearing Washington where Raheem Morris and Bruce Allen from the Bucks are there, and maybe they're going to be a candidate for him, and they released Hall. I just thought he would be seen as the top corner on the market. I wasn't sure what the money would be because of his whole history.
Right.
But I thought he might be considered the top free agent corner on the market, and I'm not sure he is that right now.
Yep. So
what would you pay him? Give me your contract for him.
Tlaib?
And don't give me like a Michael Hawley 3 years.
No. I'd pay him $5, maybe $6 million a year.
For how long?
3 years.
So you'd give him 3 years,
but I would definitely be able to get out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe a third of it's guaranteed.
I gotta think he's gonna get more than that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll take that. Yeah.
I gotta think he doesn't. I mean, I gotta think he gets a signing bonus that has two digits in it.
Yeah.
At least ten million. I mean, I think upwards of in the teens, and I keep going back to like Jason McCourty and some of these guys that $40 million, $20 million guaranteed type deals.
Yeah.
Now, maybe his baggage is just too much. Maybe there are a lot of teams that are just have no interest in him on any level based on his history. Because you also, not just the fights and all that issue, but the drug suspension. Now, he's another tier into the suspension.
Right. Yeah. One more.
So that's risky.
Right.
So maybe that'll really sway people. I don't know. I just thought he's a competitive number one corner. I thought that gets money in free agency.
Yep. All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Eldridge, who's been hanging on. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing this morning?
Good.
What's up?
Not much. Hey. One quick question.
Hey.
When the Panthers play the Patriots, y'all going to be there?
Fred and I will be there.
They all will.
But they all will. I'm going to be there, too.
Well, okay, Fred will be there. Fred and they'll catch up with you for a beer.
Yes.
I'll be glad to buy a beer for you.
We'll do a tweet up the night before, Eldridge.
Okay, we can do that. I gave my phone number and all that.
All right.
But question.
Yep.
Tlaib, you got a couple of interests, like three teams so far?
Something like that.
Yeah. So I hope we keep him. But like I said, there's a bunch of other corners. But a lot of good ones is getting signed. So who do you see that they are targeting?
Well, the Sean Smith is the rumor that he might be their top target and that, you know, he has less baggage. Tlaib worked here. You know me. I didn't think he was great, but he was pretty good, and they seemed to like what he could do. There's a value in that to me. It's like they always talk about the Red Sox. You know, Carl Crawford couldn't play here. When you find a guy that can, there's a value in that. I'm not saying how much that value is, but when you know a guy can play here and deal with you and the organization and the situation and all that, there's a value to that. And the unknown of a corner, you know, somebody posed to me this morning, well, they got to go veteran in defensive back because they've blown so many picks. Well, how about all the misses they've had in? Well, how about Lee Bodden and Sean Springs and all the guys they've blown? They've blown the deal.
Blown the deal on, yes. Yes,
we got it. I like him from the beginning.
So, I mean, Sean Smith, everybody, Smith's great until he gets here and you go, wow, he sucks, and they blew another one. Tlaib, at the very bottom, at the floor of Tlaib, I don't think is suck. The floor is, okay, he's not a shutdown corner, but
he's better than most of what you got. Yeah.
You know, he can run with Andre Johnson when we ask him to, like we did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think
one of the reasons why I don't think it's a good idea to rush into this thing is I think most teams feel the same way as the Patriots. Don't make a decision until you have to.
Well,
and
if they don't rush, somebody's going to snap them. I think Washington will grab them up regardless.
No, but, you know, when it comes to, you know, who's out there, a lot of teams, you know, might have guys on the cutting board, but they're not cutting them yet until they see what else they might be able to get. I think, again, and I say this, guys could become available that you didn't realize were going to be available.
Well, some of that, I mean, is coming to a head because the new league year starts at 4 o'clock
right. For
cap purposes. So you have to be under the cap by 4 o'clock. And you know, maybe Doomerville will happen this afternoon.
Right.
Okay, we just did
that. Changes things if he's available.
It could be.
You know, if you were looking at Freeney and all of a sudden Doomerville's available, that changes things. And now if you acted too quick on Freeney, you regret it.
But if you act too slow, you can lose a guy. As soon as four comes, the guy can be gone.
That's true.
Well, would you keep dialing or would you cut him?
Rosai Dowling? I mean, there's no reason to cut him.
Why would you cut him?
He's not due any big money or anything.
He's been hurt. One game today.
Yeah, the only time you cut a guy is when
at the end of camp, when he's proven he can't do it.
Yeah, or if like there's a big roster a big bonus that you have to give him.
He's a second round pick. The money's not that big. You're not going to save much by cutting him. You wait till camp, and if he's hurt again or if he's not good, you move on. But you wouldn't. That would be a bad move.
I mean, you're going to have
two more questions. I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Okay. Why did they use the franchise tag on Vollmer? Or because we're going to need a right tackle if he leaves.
Too much money.
Yeah, I think they think they can either get him for less or they can make do without him if he gets something somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't think they were looking to invest almost $10 million on a guy that missed 10 games 2 years ago. I know he held it together, as I like to say, with duct tape and Toradol last year. But
one last question.
To his credit.
See, they was targeting Wallace. Any chance you think we'll get him?
No.
Y'all have a good day.
Less than zero. Sorry
Thanks,
to ruin
Eldridge.
You. I like Fred says, the Patriots' mild interest or whatever the exact wording was from the Miami Herald. Yeah, of course they do. He's a player with talent. Mm. They should have mild interest in everybody. But, the reports we're hearing now is it could go $12, $13 million a year for him? No thanks. He's too incomplete a weapon for my liking. That's why you got to draft a guy, because then you control him for 4 years, see what he is before you have to leap into that next contract.
All right, let's hit up some emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. Josh in Sydney, like everyone, I'm absolutely pumped for free agency and the frenzy to follow. If you could choose to sign one free agent, safety, cornerback, pass rusher, and wide receiver, who would your choice be for each position? Current free agents only, and assume the cap is no issue. And welcome back to the African Queen, says Josh.
See, at least the emailer had the balls to call him what you've been calling him when he wasn't here.
Oh, really?
Oh, I have.
Oh, yes. Really, Fred?
Yes.
I did not.
You coined that phrase.
No,
I did not.
Well, I don't know if you coined it, but you used it a lot.
I did out in Africa.
Oh, no.
But you were here when I said that.
I thought he had out in Africa and
no,
you had African Queen.
That was me.
Because they both named you out in Africa and African Queen.
And I said that while he was here.
Mm-hmm.
I did not make up African Queen.
So you used it a lot when he was gone.
Now I know who I can say no balls to.
In emails.
At least I take shots at him to his face.
That's what I said. I said out in Africa. Right.
After the emailer said, you're a pansy. You back down. You have what?
Did I not say that while you were here? Did I not say that while you were here?
Not say what? The out of Africa?
Yeah.
You didn't call him the African Queen like
you didn't.
For 2 weeks.
But that wasn't mine.
Four shows. You used it a lot when he wasn't here.
Did you?
I don't recall.
Oh.
I think that wasn't. No, I think there was an email that said it, right?
No. You use it like every time you mentioned Eric.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
Interesting.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Let's get on to the question.
This is Andy being Andy.
Let's get on to the question.
This is Andy being Andy.
Adrian Wilson, I'm intrigued by just because he is a freak, and I want to see what he has left. I mean, the guy started 16 games last year, didn't play as much towards the end of the year, but I mean, this is an all-pro elite athlete safety. I am very much intrigued by him. Cornerback, I think Talib is still my top corner.
He's the best name on the market.
Because I'm comfortable
unless
that,
you wanted Mike Jenkins.
I want what he is, and he's not great. He's not Revis, but he's better than what we've had, and he's better than what we might not get, or however you say that. Pass rusher, I still like the Umanyora idea. Nice, long, lean veteran. I have my worries those other guys are dumb.
How about Michael Johnson?
He's not out there.
He's re-signed?
Was franchised or re-signed.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Wait. He's the guy from the Bengals, right?
Bengals, yeah.
Yeah. He was franchised.
Oh, okay. There's really nobody else out there.
So, Abraham would be my second choice. Freeney I'm concerned with. I think Freeney might be done. I have my concerns about him. So, I would definitely go Umanyora. Were there any other questions?
Yeah, wide
receiver. Cornerback, safety, wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Not a lot out there.
Can you count the respective free agents?
Nelson is the guy from Buffalo. Right. Gibson, the kid from the Rams, who, as
can
I like
you count
to say,
Cruz
beat
in
us.
Because you can make a play at Cruz.
Well, certainly cap is no option. Then
What happened with, I'm a little out of the loop here, but Bo and Jennings, did anything happen with those guys?
Bo signed.
With Casey?
Back. Yeah,
and Jennings
back
is out
with
there.
Casey, and Jennings is still
Jennings
out there.
Is still out there?
Yeah.
I would take him or Wallace. Wallace.
Jennings is, I don't want, even though he said cap is no option, I guess playing his game it would be Wallace, but it is part of my consideration in my head because he's a dink, and I'm not paying a dink $13 million a year.
All right, Mikhail from Red Lake,
Kevin?
Ontario writes in, hello, Paul,
think the lake
Fred,
is really red?
Andy, and the African Queen. See, it's not me. It's right
It's
here.
Not you today. Where did they get it from? Because you used it the whole time he wasn't here.
I did not make it up.
It's like they type McCurdy because you say McCurdy all the time.
I did not.
You said African Queen about 100 times while he was gone.
I swear to God, I did not make it up. I did not make it
okay,
up.
Okay, do you swear to Jabba the Hutt? Or whatever your god is.
Yoda.
Yoda.
Yes, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I can't believe it.
I didn't make it up.
You're gonna. I didn't say you made it up. I mean, I may have, but right. You said it a lot. I thought you did make it up because you said it so much.
No, I think it was in emails, but I did not make it up.
So that's all you're claiming?
Yeah.
You're
it's
not claiming
one.
You didn't use it a yacht?
No, uh-huh. It's a good one. And you
it's
know.
Not very good,
well,
first of all.
It's kind of funny. A little bit?
No.
Just a little bit? No.
No. The Robert Redford one was good. I like that one.
Love the show.
Let's stick with that.
Was just wondering what you guys would do to improve the Patriots. I've heard enough of what you guys think the Patriots will do, and I want to know what you guys would do with the Patriots' $25 million in cap space. And I'm not talking about what positions, but what players exactly.
Well, I would re-sign Tlaib and Welker. I think you need to start there. I would draft. I think the best way you can get the wide receivers in the draft. I don't think you're going to, I mean.
Especially
me
if there's a
risky.
Run on defensive linemen.
Yeah, there's
which
going
it sounds
to
like
be.
There's going to be.
There
you could have
be.
A lot of wide receivers and corners available.
You're
going
to have your chance to get a 4-4-5 type 6'2 to 6'4 receiver mm-hmm. who can get down the field. Yeah. You'll have your chance. You just got to pick the right one. Make sure you get the right one.
I think that what I would do is I would get Victor Cruz.
You're going all in on Victor Cruz.
Yeah, I would get Victor Cruz, and everything else, all my other resources would be defense.
You don't have a lot of resources because you just
I'm
used
talking
it all
about
to get Victor.
Draft and available.
You don't
money.
Have much in the draft.
You have a
either.
Second and a third round pick. That's it. Because you're not getting the sevenths, whatever. So
all my other,
you could certainly, using your theory, you could certainly get a safety. There are going to be good safeties in the second or third round. I'd be concerned about where your pass rusher is coming from. Mm. If you have enough money left.
All my other resources and focus and attention would be on defense.
And so Tlaib and Welker are gone.
Re-signing, too.
That counts towards the $25 million.
I'm talking about bringing people in. I would try to work with both, and I try to re-sign both.
Okay, you can only have one. I'm assuming if you sign Cruz, you can only have one.
Okay, then.
Tlaib.
Yeah, I guess Tlaib.
I mean, you put all your eggs in the Cruz pot. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I think Cruz would be a very interesting addition to this offense and Brady. No question.
Yep. Phil in Nova Scotia, will the Seahawks 49ers...
First-round pick and $50 million or something?
Yeah, I think that he's dynamic enough. He's what you call
imagine
a playmaker.
That. An undrafted guy out of UMass a few years later is going home to the Patriots
it's
for
right.
a first-round pick and 50...
I don't
speculating
see it
here. Not hearing.
Phil in Nova Scotia, will the Seahawks 49ers now be the best rivalry in the NFL? It sure represents a new generation and a changing of the guard. I think it will be the number one rivalry for years to come because both Kaepernick and Wilson are not limited to just the option. Plus, both defenders are scary good. I'm going to enjoy seeing how this all plays out.
Well, you missed the biggest point on that. The coaches hate each other. You have two teams that are good with young quarterbacks and physical defenses, but first and foremost, Harbaugh and Carroll hate each other.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, that's a rivalry that goes back to college, USC-Stanford. Oh,
that's true.
Yeah, they don't care for each other. They've tried to poo-poo it, but they don't care for each other.
Hothead Harbaugh, for sure, isn't going to let that go.
Right, and I bet you Pete's competitive in his own little, I'm smiling at you while I kick you in the nuts kind of way, you know, run a fake punt and do kind of things like that.
Well, do you think that the Bolden thing to the 49ers kind of made the Seahawks move that much quicker on Harvin?
No, they did Harvin first.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay, so then the opposite.
No.
You don't think that one made the other move a little
not
faster?
Not necessarily.
No?
The Bolden one is interesting. Because, you know, I know everybody's up in arms, and that's not fair. You're telling me no one would have given a fifth for Anquan Bolden, but he traded him to his brother for a sixth and blah, blah, blah. To me, the only person that has an argument there are Ravens fans. If you think your leadership didn't maximize the value of a guy, you're the only one who can complain. The rest of the league, you're allowed to have friendships. You're allowed to make trades with people if, you know, Scott Pioli can trade for Matt Cassel, right? But the people that should complain are the Ravens. If you think you should have got a third-round pick for Anquan Bolden and your coach/GM traded him for a sixth, you have a complaint.
Right.
No one else really does. I mean, to me, it's not the Ravens don't owe it to every team. Oh, I have to offer him to all 30 other teams. If I don't have to. I can do whatever I want within reason. I mean, right. You can't dump, but so it's only Ravens fans that should argue, and you're coming off a Super Bowl, so I wouldn't argue too loud.
Michelle says the Ravens go ahead and ship their off-season MVP, Bolden, to the 49ers and get their unsentimental on NFL and then get called unsentimental on NFL.com. Check. Had the Patriots done the same, we'd have been ruthless, et cetera, et cetera. What's the upside to Sean Smith over Tlaib or Nnamdi, if released, that'll warrant a big money contract? I'd like Nnamdi over both those guys.
He's interesting. Now, as we said, there were some stories about he's a little bit of a different cat, goes out to his car to eat lunch rather than needs a little Nnamdi time, apparently, in the middle of every day. But, I mean, I guess who of these corners doesn't have a little bit of a strange
What's wrong with that, though?
Well, it's just a little weird. You know, why does he need to get away from his team in the middle of the day to have lunch?
Because you're around these guys 24/7.
Yeah, but you have a cafeteria. I mean, there's tables. You can go sit in a different – to go sit in your car.
Maybe he likes to meditate, to be peaceful.
I'm not surprised you think it's okay. I don't think it's okay, and I think a lot of the world would think it's a little weird, certainly when you're building a team.
But you're with these guys so much. Is it too much to ask for 1 hour away from them?
You get your hours at night.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
I mean, if I had, I often eat in my car when I go out, but
you floss in your car.
Yeah, but
while
if
driving,
if I had a cafeteria with free food, I'd just get it and sit down, you know. And if I didn't want people to sit with me, I'd read a book. So they, you know.
And I think obviously Smith is less baggage. I'm not sure he's as good. These guys are all in the mix as second tier corners. I mean, Asamoah used to be considered the best.
Right.
It wasn't that long ago. He was considered the best when he was in Oakland.
Right.
Kind of a man corner, struggled in some of their schemes there. I mean, they've obviously kind of gone through the Rodgers Cromartie. They went through Asante. They went through Asamoah. They've had their issues there on defense in corners. But I think if you add any of those, yes, they're better than what you've had in recent years. But are they as good as what Tlaib was at the end of the year? Is the fit there would be my concern.
And apparently Tony Gonzalez is coming back for another year.
That was the latest.
Yeah. And Michelle finally says, Bolden is in Africa doing relief work as if being Flacco's safety valve wasn't enough relief work for 1 year.
Is he in Africa? I knew he was somewhere traveling and didn't. They couldn't really get him to comment on the trade and everything.
All right. Food's here. Let's take a break so we can eat. And do we get anything to drink, Kevin? Yeah. Okay. So we'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
To leave. It's time for the Fred Kirsch Beat for Men Manscaping Tip of the Week.
Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep. Ah.
Do not put on knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are gone now. In their place is a maroon-colored bag of agony, which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing.
Now, here's the always smooth Fred Kirsch.
I immediately regret this decision.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. We're talking free agency here. It opens up at 4 o'clock today, and who knows what the Patriots will do.
Bill Belichick.
The Patriots will do Bill Belichick?
No, Bill Belichick knows what the Patriots will do.
Oh.
Other than that, nobody.
I don't think he does either 100%. I think he knows what his options are.
Yeah, I'm going to see how it plays out.
Or what they might be, but I think, again, you don't make a decision until you have to in this business.
And since they haven't, according to Ian Rappaport, made a single offer to Wes Welker, right, they're not rushing into anything.
Right. So webradio@patriots.com is the way to email us. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Oh, my God. When did you turn into Andy?
Well, I just had, you know, I pretty much have it figured out that I'm able to get through half a sandwich during the break. You know?
That's wolfing
but
it down.
That is wolfing it down. I'm half a sandwich. So, yeah, naturally I have a little burp, you know, eating that way. It's not good to eat that way. But we do it for our fans. We do it for our listeners. So, let's see. Louis writes in. He's in Chicago. Hey, Fred, Paul, and Andy, Kevin, the African Queen. It's awesome. See, I didn't make that up. It's awesome to have the off season. Now let's sign some damn good players. It's always good having you guys in the off season, but I'm asking, please have a special edition Wednesday show. I really can't wait until Thursday to have NFL analysis.
Tough.
I need my PFW tomorrow. Please have a show tomorrow. And question for Andy, what would you say to going after restricted free agent Denario Alexander? He's a big wide receiver, 6'4". He's young, fast, been productive. The only flag has been his health.
Yeah, no. I've decided I want my wide receiver in the draft. And I'm pretty much honing in on Terrence Williams, the kid from Baylor, is the guy I want. Not quite as big. He's only 6'2"-ish, maybe. But
it's not bad.
Speed. Yeah, around here that's big. But speed, production, 90-something catches. Route running, obviously, like all receivers, is going to, you know, take a little bit in the NFL. But I like the way he goes up and gets the ball.
uses his body kind of to shield defend. I'm intrigued by him, and I fell in love with his quote at the combine. Somebody said, you know, one of the criticisms of you is you always just run go routes, you know, straight down the sideline, right by guys or whatever. And he goes, if you can, why not? I like it. That's the guy I want. I want the guy with the big balls, Eric, to just walk out there and say, you, I'm running by you. Then he ran a 4.55, which is a little slower than I had hoped, but.
Wyatt from Alaska writes in, I have a stupid idea if we don't sign Welker. Let's re-sign. What?
Well, this is kind of the place for stupid ideas. I remember your slot with soap with a slot and your alpaca farm and the various things we've gone through over the years.
He says, let's re-sign Edelman and sign Amendola.
So we
play Amendola for 6 weeks. He gets injured. Then we play Edelman and he gets injured. Then Amendola is better. Also, I had a dream. If we re-sign Welker,
that was an awesome dream.
Also, I had a bad dream. If we re-sign Welker for a big deal contract, all guaranteed, then Welker gets a career-ending injury. Okay, he's just relaying his bad dream.
And it's.
I mean,
what if Brady? Had
right,
a career
that
ending
could happen
injury.
With anyone.
How often does that happen when somebody signs that big a contract?
Not that often.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
It's happened to rookies.
To rookies, yeah. But I mean, like a veteran free agent that gets a big deal.
Actually, it happens more in baseball, which is funny. Like, you can think of like Mo Vaughn, Albert Bell. Those are guys that signed huge deals, and like the last 3, 4, 5 years weren't even on the team.
Speaking of injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Andy.
You.
Yeah, I got a little issue.
You got an issue. What happened?
I stepped on a rock this morning in the dark running.
Running?
Yes.
I suggested that with, his.
So the marathon is in jeopardy.
His artificial upper body, he should sign up for the wheelchair.
You're hoping that by the time the marathon comes, you'll be ready?
Oh, I'll be ready to run again in it's like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
But the concern now is the lost
but,
training.
You know, you told me that you've always had you have these weak ankles.
I have very loose ankles.
It's because of the steroids.
Shut up.
The ligaments can't hold.
He has very limp wrists, too.
Right. You know, so the steroids.
The African queen chiming in.
Your frame cannot hold what the steroids are trying to do.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
That's why your tendons are very loose.
If they're ligaments, first of all. Ligaments and tendons are not interchangeable.
Okay.
What are the difference?
What?
What's the difference?
Well, the tendons, you know, do this and then the.
Tendons attach the muscle
right,
to the bone.
Right, to the bone.
Ligaments attach bone to bone. So, these are ligaments that are stretched out from multiple
whatever
strains
the case is,
in high school and before.
You're not supposed to be this big, obviously. And
I'm not that big.
And it's putting a strain on your tendons and ligaments.
No. You know what put a strain on my ligament? Stepping on a rock and rolling onto the side of my foot when I shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Listen,
I think most people would have ran through
you
that.
Somehow pulled your Achilles doing nothing but be fat.
No.
At least I injured it doing some physical activity. I'm not in a walking boot hopping around the office because you don't know why, because you're just, you know, carrying too much weight. And who's to tell me, Mr. Fat Shoulders, that I'm too big up top?
Is it too late to enter the wheelchair competition?
Yes.
I think Paul should push you in the wheelchair during the...
First of all, I'd have no chance of finishing in a wheelchair, I don't think, because I got to think that's really hard on your shoulders and arms and everything. And I certainly have no chance of Paul pushing me 26 miles. He couldn't run. How far do you think he could run?
A quarter of a mile.
Depends on what's on the other end. If it's food or beer, quite a bit.
I literally don't think he could run a mile.
Yeah. Oh.
No, I don't think. No way.
Honestly, I might have trouble running a mile at this point.
I think a quarter of a mile would be tops.
I mean, I could run it, but not fast.
Well, I'm not sure he'd be able to keep one foot moving in front of the other.
Yeah. No, he's in really bad shape. Really, really bad shape.
It's true.
You know, because he's quite a bit younger than me, but, you know.
He doesn't look it.
Not much.
Yeah. So.
No, he certainly doesn't look it, and yeah.
Yeah, he's. He's not long for
he's
this
got
world.
The big belly, which they always say.
At this rate, Eric.
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
All these studies that come out that say if you do one serving of soda, diet soda a day, you up your chances of diabetes and this and that like 35%. He drinks a freaking bottle in front of
but
us.
But he goes to the doctor every year and they say, oh, you're fine.
Yeah, based on his standard.
Star
his baseline?
Yeah.
Star Lutalelli or whatever has been to the doctor his whole life, and until the combine, they found a heart problem. I mean, there's a lot of these people. I mean, I don't want to start giving examples, but we've seen plenty of people that were supposedly in great health that just dropped dead.
Yeah, there was that Northeastern tight end. He didn't
drop
dead, but he had the heart problem.
No, but even like, I mean, there's been a number of reporters who were in normal, good shape that just dropped dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you can go get your physicals, and I mean, they just do superficial. They go over, you know, a little blood work, a little this, that. You got any problems? It's not like they really delve deep. He could die any minute.
What's the point of going to those physicals then if they're only doing a cursory test?
It's a great point. But they don't do that much.
I've had the stress test, the whole thing.
What's that? On the treadmill?
Yeah, the treadmill.
Like the Bill Cosby one? I remember
yeah.
that.
Yes. Hooked up to the electro. Yeah.
See, I've never had that.
Yeah. I had it because, like, I was feeling, like, this, like, weird sensation in my chest, and I just wanted to have it checked out. I think it was just gas.
And they said, you're fat.
Jay writes, hey, look, can I stand to lose 30 pounds? Absolutely. I need to lose 30 pounds.
Apparently, marathon's not the way to do it, though.
You gained?
I didn't gain, but I didn't lose anything.
Yeah,
I lost 5 pounds in Africa.
Because of the steroids.
And I was eating all the time. Yeah. I didn't have 5 pounds to lose.
So it was Africa hot. You were sweating.
It wasn't that hot, no.
It's not that hot in Africa?
No.
Son of a bitch, Africa hot.
And we were there in the summer.
Africa
it was
hot,
warm.
A misnomer.
It was warm, and the temperature was high, but it was dry.
It's dry heat.
It was. I swear to God, it wasn't uncomfortable at all at any point.
Did they have bats at night? You see any
bats? Yeah. I didn't see any bats,
bats.
No.
I bet there are. I think there's bats pretty much
everywhere.
I think
everywhere. It's in South America where they have those huge bats.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Jay writes in, have you guys listened to the Knicks Dominic conversation on Deadspin? Solid gold. They complain about everything you are talking about. Well, what are we talking about? We kind of talk about a lot of things, so I don't know. Knicks Dominic, have you ever heard of that show?
Never
on
heard
Deadspin
of it.
Or a conversation or person?
Nope.
I don't know.
I'm not a Deadspin devotee.
I only go there when there's
even
a link.
That he has to
devotee.
Say.
Devotee. I only go there when there's a link to a story. I don't go there on my own.
Like when they break the Manti Te'o thing.
Right. Jim and Walpole, could you trade for Cruz and franchise him for 2 years rather than signing him to a big deal?
You can trade, yeah. So they got Wes Welker. He was a restricted free agent that they traded for.
Right, but then can you franchise him right off the bat? Or do you have to kind of give him a deal? Can you trade from him and make him a franchise player right then and there?
No.
The franchise window's over with.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's true.
You can't.
Right.
Now you could, but you could. You would play out his restricted free agent tender if you wanted, and then franchise him next year. Is how you could do it. Now, usually the guy's looking for a deal, and he's not going to, whatever. But
yeah,
you could trade for him.
I
think the Giants would trade. I think there's a little bad blood with that Jake Ballard.
Right. Dustin in South Carolina. Hey, guys, I have, in my opinion, a pretty good scenario, but it will only work if we don't re-sign Welker. I was thinking that either we sign Wallace, move up in the draft, and get Tavon Austin, or sign Jennings and move up in the draft and get Justin Hunter. What do you think?
I wasn't really listening. I was chewing.
What do you think of Justin Hunter? Anything?
No. I don't know much about him yet. Still early in the process, Fred.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of Tavon Austin?
This is not as a first round
pick.
This is the little guy, right?
Not as a first round pick.
Dynamic athlete.
Yeah, I would take him if they have, you know, third round. Sure.
But he's going to be a first round
pick.
But
he's going to be a first rounder.
Or late first.
I don't like him for
he
that.
He scares me to death. He's kind of like DeSean Jackson, Percy Harvin, you know, dedicating that. It's kind of the Welker thing. You have this image in your mind of what I'm willing to invest in a first-round pick. And even though he's productive and exciting and dynamic, he's not it. And I just can't help that feeling.
Greg writes in. He says, I think Desmond Bryant would be a great addition for the Patriots. Typical free agent move for the Patriots. Great size. He can play next to Vince with tons of upside. And he can be had at a reasonable cost.
Can he, though? He's a young player. I think he's a pure free agent, you know, 4 years in and now he's a free agent. Productive, young. He doesn't feel like a guy you're going to get on the dead low cheap.
Yeah, I don't
because
think
of
so
his
either.
Youth. But there's been reports linking the Patriots to him. They've wanted that interior pass rusher type. That is kind of what he is. Certainly a possibility in what they've been looking for, the whole Red Bryant, Jonathan Finene cycle. Colin Jenkins, by the way, I believe he signed. He was a guy that I had earmarked for that at a lesser price. Maybe Brian. I'm always intrigued. Why is he so cheap? Because he's a decent young player. Yeah. How do you think you're going to get him so cheap? And if so, what's the deal?
Jason writes in, Crapsheet tweeted this morning that the Patriots hadn't given Wes Welker an offer yet. Is that possible? I personally don't buy it. It would have come out before now, and that hack's tweet doesn't carry any credibility.
Well, it even lost credibility when he tweeted, they're waiting for his last offer. Excuse me, that meant first. That really kind of cuts off your credibility
there. What if, though, what it really means is the Patriots gave him an offer last year, and the Patriots said, look, that's still on the table. You know, we'll start it from this point, but it's still on the table. You know,
that would tell me that they really don't want. Oh my God!
Andy's showing us his ankle. It is not looking good.
Oh,
can't even,
Lord!
Like, find that dot thing.
Yeah, it's.
You can't even see the bone.
Yeah, it's size of a baseball.
Oh Lord!
Yeah, black and blue.
Wow.
Why? You should not really be using it now, right?
What do you mean?
We should be putting ice on it or something.
Elevating I iced it before we came down. I'm gonna ice it again. We go back upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Tell me to go home, I'll go home.
You don't got to tell him twice.
I'm a little concerned, though. My marathon advisor, unofficially, Dwight Darien, a member of our graphics department, who is a longtime marathoner and runner and, you know, just told me he ran his first marathon, a miserable one in 318 or something. He's a runner. He looked at it and goes, are you sure you just sprained it and it might not be a little bit more serious than that? So that concerned me.
Well, yeah.
But I've sprained my ankle a lot. This is what it does. It swells up, it gets black and blue, and then it slowly starts to feel better.
You got to get off that juice.
Shut up.
Logan from Indiana. Here is my favorite time of the year. The beginning of free agency is always fun to keep track of. My first question is, what is up with Brandon Spike's contract? Is he a free agent, restricted free agent, or still under contract? I feel he was brought up in one of your shows last week. Also, how would you guys feel about trading out of the first round this year? I'm not a fan of some of the players in the first round and would rather have a few extra mid-round picks.
No.
Please keep an eye out for Alex Okafor, a defensive end out of Texas. My dad and I are in love with him after watching him dominate in Texas's bowl game where he had 4 sacks.
I think you're going to have talent available in the first round that you should keep that pick. I don't want to trade out.
I'm actually open to trading out this year.
You are?
I think there's good depth at need positions in the second and third round. If you could add a second round pick, trading down, something like that, I'd be intrigued by that.
And what about Spike's contract? He's under contract right now.
He's a Patriot.
Dan Martin writes in, while I would be in favor of the Patriots making a run at Cruz if the story is true, didn't the Giants place a first-round tender on him requiring a first-round pick as well as giving the Giants a chance to match the offer? That doesn't sound like something the Patriots would be willing to do in a million years, or am I missing the nature of the tender? No, you're absolutely right. The Giants would have a right to match the offer.
But
a lot of times what the teams do is they load it up front so the other team can't if they're having cap problems.
Right, but again, let's get past the whole doesn't sound like the Patriots would do it. Maybe Bill Belichick's madly in love with Victor Cruz, and that's the guy. I mean, he's the future of this offense, this team.
Look, when Welker was a restricted free agent, you know, the Patriots didn't have to give a first round, but they had to give a second round pick for him. And a lot of people thought that they were overreaching then.
But that was a trade.
But it was a trade. Oh, I thought that he was a...
He was a restricted free agent, and there was some talk that they were going to do a deal that Miami couldn't match, and then they ended up trading.
And giving up a second round pick, right?
Is that what it was?
And some money. Yeah.
Well, they definitely signed him to an $18 million deal, but in the end, it goes down as a trade.
Maybe it was a fourth, but there was a pick involved.
It was a trade.
Yeah.
I'll look the trade up while you...
Ben in New York.
Dover.
First time emailing, been a listener for about 2 years, love the show. I had one question for you guys. I was wondering, do the players' salaries come out of the team owners' pockets, or does the NFL give the team the money to spend on the players? Also, what's taking so long to re-sign Welker? He's Brady's most reliable weapon.
They haven't given him an offer.
On the field. Sign the deal and move on already. Once again, love the show. Keep up the good work. And by the way, I ordered my first bottle of Fresh Balls. Works great. It does work great. Fresh Balls is a great product. I use it myself.
Fresh Balls?
Fresh Balls.
You get them to advertise on the show, though.
We should. It's a good product. Anyway.
Second and seventh for what?
Second and seventh. Yeah, so I was right again.
Hey, no, you were right, like when you dubbed Eric the African.
You know, it's an interesting question. It's not as kind of dumb as it sounds. Does the money that the owners
it
pay.
Sounds dumb when you
say it. Right, it does. Does the money that the owners use to pay the players come out of their own pocket or is it from the NFL? Everything in the NFL is shared. So technically, it does come from the NFL. It comes from the TV contracts and ticket prices, which are all shared. You know, and then there's just cap. So all the teams are theoretically spending the same amount of money every year. And then beyond
No,
but then there's the cash.
They have the same amount to spend.
Right.
And but you're also just talking about the salary cap and players.
Right, but
have coaches, you have scouting, you have...
No, I understand, but a guy who has more money personally than another guy can't go and spend his own money above and beyond that.
Well, I mean, you have more money to spend, quote, cash over cap for signing bonuses. Well,
eventually it comes out in the... Yeah.
But you also have more money to spend on coaches.
Right.
You can do, $7 million contracts with a coach every 3 years like Daniel Snyder
does. Coaches are not included. You know, he's talking about players.
But if you want a little insight into this...
Your facilities, your coaching.
Right. If you want a little insight into this, search online for the recent Carolina Panthers. I don't know if you saw that, Fred. Their entire financials, I guess you'd call them, were leaked on the internet. And they got in, reverse spin mode because, Jerry Richardson was one of the hardline owners who said, we got to take our league back, and it's a business model. While doing that, he was making good chunks of money, paying $12 million to the various shareholders each year for a two-year span. Very interesting. And he claimed they were actually losing money at the time, and they weren't. Come to find out, one of the ways that is sort of interpreted is you can write off the purchase price of your team over a certain window, kind of like tax purposes.
Prorating.
So while he brought in $100 million, let's say, of profit, he says, well, I paid $800 million for the team, and I get to write off $120 million a year, so I actually lost $20 million. Well, no, you didn't. Your operating expenses, you made $100 million. So there was – but you should look into that. It was very interesting sort of kind of money and what's in, what's out. And they're obviously kind of a small market team. They're not a big market model, and they were doing very well, so the assumption is everybody's doing very well, but they certainly didn't want it out there.
I think you have to be a complete moron to lose money as an owner in the NFL. I mean, getting back to this email, the money is literally handed to you.
Oh, yeah,
it's going up. TV contracts and everything else.
And it's going up when the new TV deals come in. That was sort of in there about, what the check is. I can't even remember the number, but it was a ridiculous number. You start the year with, a couple $100 million just handed over to you before you do anything.
Yeah, you got to be a moron to lose money in the NFL.
He wouldn't have said that during the lockout.
it's
the owners were claiming it was a business model that simply could not continue.
That doesn't mean you have you shouldn't do what's in the best interest of making it as good a business as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for everybody. Because it's a shared system, if it's good for the owners, eventually it's going to be good for the players.
Sure.
Superman writes in. He says, do you think we should trade Lloyd for Revis? The Jets need some wide receivers, and we need a cornerback in case we can't get Talib back.
So that's a super idea.
Yeah.
Why don't we just sign Superman?
I would do that so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way on earth the Jets would do that.
But what about on Krypton?
Maybe. Dylan writes in.
Gang Green.
Right. A few quick thoughts on free agency. I don't think Wes Welker's coming back. I don't think he ever was. He was clearly being phased out until Edelman got hurt. I think the Patriots would be more comfortable giving Edelman a 3-year deal for $8 or $9 million when it would take
why? So that he can miss 6 to 10 games a year?
Oh, I think he's saying over 8 or 9, not each year.
Oh, okay.
He's saying it would take 3 years, 20-plus for Welker, which would free up some money to go after a receiver who can stretch the field. I think the Patriots try and re-sign Talib, go after D'Angelo Hall or Aaron Ross. Beyond that, Bill will look for defensive line depth and a linebacker who can cover in space if Fletcher doesn't come back strong.
Just this is becoming a pet peeve of mine because this is a lot of people believe they need a coverage linebacker, a guy who can – there is no such thing. Coverage linebackers just don't exist in the NFL. It's a thankless, impossible job when you're matching up with guys like Hernandez and Gronkowski. And these, every team has one of these athletic tight ends, running backs that are significantly faster than you. And I kind of went back and forth with Matt Chatham on this because he said something, and I said, they just don't exist. And he said, that's my point. There is no such thing as a coverage linebacker in the NFL. It doesn't happen. That's why teams go to sub defenses and get guys off the field and get more defensive backs on the field.
Brooklyn Matt says, Eric, I'm having Fred read this so he can bust himself for calling you African Queen for the last 2 weeks. Hey, Fred, how's it feel to tell on yourself? Pretty surreal, huh? Eric, your trip.
You really don't remember calling him the African Queen?
Yeah, I remember
forever?
Reading an email, but
no, no. You called him the African Queen dozens of times per show.
Paul did it.
No, you did.
Kevin's nodding his head in there too now.
No,
do you have Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's?
I read emails, but Paul, Kevin, he knows. Who made that up? Who started that?
Oh, I don't.
Do you know?
I don't know that, but I know you used it more than anyone.
Was it someone on the show or was it an emailer?
I thought Paul did, I thought.
Okay, maybe he did, but you used it more than anyone. You took it and ran with it. Hmm. He may be the architect, but you were the one who built the building.
Eric, your trip was appointment listening. I had to crash through people on the sidewalk so I could get home by noon to tune in. I almost yelled, get out of my way.
It as a podcast.
I'm going to miss Eric's trip stories. But you totally dropped the ball referring to Robert Redford in African Queen. Eric, that was a signature role in Hollywood history, and Bogart owns it.
No, Out of Africa.
Right.
That's what we were talking about.
He's
not African
Brooklyn
Queen.
Brooklyn Matt is confused. That's like
in more ways than you even know.
That's like preferring Edelman to Welker. What is wrong with you?
Wow, you're calling out Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels.
Let's see. Brandon writes in: can we potentially sign more people if Lloyd is released? Doesn't that open up more options for this immaculate cap that Fred thinks we have?
It saves you like a little over $2 million. His cap number, if you keep him, will be like 4 and change, and he'll have like $2 million in dead money if you cut him. So, yeah, you have $2 million more.
All right. Jeremy in Oregon, like a lot of Patriot fans, I want Wes Welker back. But something tells me that this offense needs a different element to get over the top. The draft hasn't happened yet, but essentially this will be the same offense as last year, which wasn't enough to get over the top. As the hours go back and free agency comes closer, I think he means bye, I can't help but hope that the Patriots do the un-Patriot thing and sign Mike Wallace to a big contract. Am I wrong?
Yes, ain't happening. And I don't see how that works.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
I mean,
much as I'd love
the
to.
The money is one thing, the $12, $13 million. Then the fit within the offense, can he do anything else? Can Brady get him the ball? You know, some of his big plays come on those, as we've talked about, extended Roethlisberger type scramble. Oh, he's crossing, now I can hit him. I don't think it'll be money well spent.
You go out and you overspend for a guy like Wallace. Now you're like all those other teams that do that, that don't even get close to what the Patriots have done over the last decade.
Like the Steelers.
Peter.
The Super Bowls.
I don't know if the Steelers go out and sign big free agents. In fact, I know they don't.
No.
Right.
But with Wallace, they...
But when they have one of their own, they tend to...
No, they tend to get rid of them and rely on the draft. That's been their M.O.
And plus, they are actually one of the very few teams that have found to put themselves in cap problems. Their guy, Omar... has done a terrible job with them. Terrible job. The Patriots' offense was good in the regular season last year, right? We can all agree on that. You know, when you're like third most scoring offense in history.
Yep.
And they probably would have been better in the postseason with Gronk. I mean,
Of course they would have.
I mean, that's the key to your offense, right? That's the key to the offense.
Yes.
So how many teams, if you take away the key to the offense, aren't going to have a step back?
Right.
That's what I don't... Whoever you pick as the key to what... You know, Andre Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Johnson. You know, Tony Gonzalez.
Right.
No, that's... They get a lot
no,
of
I know. It's, so, yeah.
But I mean, any team you
when
take away...
When he was with the Chiefs back then.
Yeah. I mean, that's... That's what happens. So they could be better just by being healthy.
Right.
You know, I don't like it when I'm the voice of optimism because it seems very unnatural.
It's very unlike you. I know.
But this team, as constituted on offense, will be better if you get a full season of health out of Hernandez and Gronkowski. Now, that's an if because they both missed time to injury. And on defense, you will be better if you get legitimate year two jumps from Hightower, Jones, Tavon Wilson, and Dennard. Let's take the four rookies that played the most for you.
Right.
If you get what Bill Belichick says is the most important time, that year one to year two, jump out of them, and you scouted right, this football team is going to be better, right? So it has this feel like Woo! Everybody's like, well, I try not to be that. I don't want to be you. I don't want to be the homer. Everything's rosy and I'm always.
No,
but can you be a realist and just say, it's not that bad.
But I am a realist and I get accused of being homer because I recognize that the Patriots are a good team. Now that, so I, because of that, I get called a homer. Okay. But you know.
What you really should be touting, by the way,
yeah,
is the fact that you were right last year. I don't even know if you remember being right.
Which time?
You're wrong a lot. like the time when I said, does Gronkowski matter? And you say, not really. You were really wrong. But in the beginning of the year, when you said this offense needed more playmakers, there weren't enough, you were kind of right in the end. Right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
remember that was his argument in like September, and we were I won't say we. I was mocking you. How many all pros you want? You got Gronkowski. You got Hernandez. There weren't enough playmakers in the end. You scored 13 points in the AFC title game. Mm-hmm. You got shut out in the second half. So you were right. You didn't have enough to fall back on. But if the guys stay healthy, I still believe you have enough playmakers on offense.
Oh,
I still
yeah.
think you can score points. Yeah. Now, I'd like to add a threat. Well, if Welker's here, but I'd still like to add a threat to make some plays on the outside. But it's not this woe is us. We need to do all these things to get back to anywhere. The back to anywhere, you're starting as one of the best teams in football.
Plus, the other thing that we all get guilty of is we take the team that ended the season, 2012, and we say, if we just add this, then, yes, theoretically, yeah, you're better, but the team isn't the same.
Right.
It's not going to be the same team to start with in 2013 as you ended in 2012. So adding one piece is not just a N plus one situation. It's you're starting right. really not, you're not, whenever you have Tom Brady, you're not starting from scratch. I get that.
When you're in the AFC East with Tom Brady, you're starting with a division title.
Right. But it's not the same team. And so it's not just add a piece and you get that much better. It's, everything.
Well, it's both ways. It's not as good or as bad as the end
of
the season.
Right.
You're going to have Gronk back. So don't envision the team that didn't have Gronk and got shut out.
Right.
Envision the team that had Gronk and won a lot of games and got to that point.
Right.
But then the other side is, the defense. Everybody thinks it got better the last couple of years at the end and, with Talib or the year before, Sterling Moore was making plays.
Right.
Well, let's pump the brakes. You might have the bad defense that was most of the regular season. So,
and you just don't know. I mean, and Tom Brady is a year older and Vince Wilfork is a year older. And,
And Logan Mankins will be healthy.
Right. So it's a different
every
year.
Every negative
every
you want to throw out there, I'll throw a positive.
No, true. It's true. Peter writes, please tell all the listeners to know that if they have a Windows 8 phone, there is now an app called WP8 Radio that plays the live show and seems to be pretty reliable.
Cool.
You know about this, Fred?
Nope. But, you can have our show anywhere.
It's just executive director of new media.
It's a feed. No, I'm sure a lot of things pick up our feed, which is
really.
I've also been seeing a lot of headlines lately, by the way, about internet access and cars coming with internet access. So we're not too far away from my little world where you can get our radio show whenever you want easily right in your car. They're talking about that. Now, there's some issues about, privacy and other different things. But they're going down that road where you can get us in your car. Preset 1, PFW in progress.
Let's see. Dear PFW team, says Dan in Virginia.
Hey, Dan.
Thanks for the great shows. You're coming close to being Renaissance men with the breadth of discussion topics of late, from art to international affairs to National Geographic type stuff. Glad to hear Eric made it back safely.
Did you see any National Geographic movies?
No, they were all covered up.
But were they low? They swinging to and fro.
Now, if someone wanted to on this high class adventure,
yeah,
could you buy yourself a little companionship at night?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure you could.
Oh, my God.
Could you have?
No.
Why?
Because I don't do that sort of thing.
I said, could someone, if they wanted.
No, we hardly saw any other human beings other than those who were in our camp.
You had a flushing toilet. If you said, I need a little companionship for the evening.
We were out in the middle of nowhere.
They would have busted in.
Now, what about recreational substances?
I don't know. I don't do any of those.
I
don't know, Fred. I don't know how to go about getting those
things.
What
about lubricants?
So you didn't hear about anybody like saying doing any of
that?
We
didn't have any drug addicts on our trip, no.
Did you guys play card games at night? Anything like that?
Didn't play card games, but we did sit around the campfire and talk and
enjoy
adult beverages.
Who was the
libation.
Who was the most interesting person on the trip besides yourself?
Big drop off. That was like Darrell Revis.
I'm glad you clarified that, Fred. A lot of people were interesting. I mean,
I think we know who he was interested in.
All right, I'll give you one guy who He's related distantly to Jerry Lee Lewis and Jerry Falwell. And he used to basically run Ross Perot's presidential campaign.
Oh, surrounded by
He's a big energy guy from Texas.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, he had a pretty interesting background.
All right. So this married 30-something. She was hot.
She was very good looking, yeah.
Cans?
Not to your standards. But you have ridiculous standards when it comes to that.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah, you do.
Just like a nice...
Yeah, you do.
More than a mouthful.
When she was getting undressed in her tent, did you see her silhouette?
No, Fred.
No?
Did you catch her having sex with
no.
Eric and she was screaming out, Eric, and you were dreaming?
A-holes, both of you.
How are your bowel movements? Because a lot of times when people travel, they have trouble with that.
No troubles.
Oh, good. And you're healthy? All the shots worked out well?
They did, and the bugs were surprisingly not a factor. Other than
you had that cancer-causing chemical on you.
Yeah, maybe that helped too, but we didn't hardly see any mosquitoes. There were the flies were more prevalent than the mosquitoes.
On the dome.
And the flies weren't even that bad. It was very pleasantly
surprising.
Did you have
one of those things that you kind of switch yourself with?
They were selling them, too. They were like wildebeest tails or zebra tails.
Yeah.
You would just like
the
hair from their tail, you would use them as a fly swatter. But
right.
We didn't really need to because the bugs weren't really bothering us.
He was actually at Disneyland.
Yeah.
In a dirt-free environment.
So Dan has a mixed bag of questions. Do owners get any revenue from the game itself, such as some kind of winnings if their team gets a Lombardi, or is it all from ticket sales, sponsorship, and merchandising? The teams that win do get extra playoff money, and they distribute it to the staff. We don't get any.
I was going to say, I wouldn't know anything about that.
You know, it's not like millions of dollars.
I wouldn't know.
But, no, everyone gets the same, and it's all from ticket sales, but most of it comes from these TV contracts.
Right.
But there's also merchandising from NFL properties that get shared. And, you know, the advertising you see on NFL.com, for example, it all goes into the one big pot.
Especially now even more. I mean, now that we're all on the one platform for the Internet and everything, even more is kind
of. Also, is there an app to hear PFW in progress on Kindle?
No. Fred is biased against Kindle.
Well, doesn't Kindle have a browser? Because then just go to pages.com and listen to us there.
Okay. It does have a browser. Yeah.
So, then the answer is yes. It's not an app. But
a roundabout way.
You can listen. It's not. It's the most direct way. Just go to pages.com and listen to us on Kindle.
I'm going to try it tonight.
You have a Kindle?
Theater does, yeah.
Fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can.
Fred, I got a gift from the Chris with the TIAN.
Yeah. All that and all the news that have come out today and is still coming out about Wes Welker, that's on the table. The African Queen is still on the road. We'll be talking about that. So much here on PFW in progress.
It happened to Mitt Romney, and now it has happened to Fred.
Thank you, Chris, with the TIAN.
I didn't make it up. I didn't start it.
You also claimed you didn't say it, and you said it a lot.
You did claim that earlier.
I did say it a lot, but I didn't make it up.
Oh, now you're – wow, you could be a politician.
No, see, earlier you were saying you only said it when you were reading emails.
I might have said it that one time.
Like when you let off a show. The topics that are on the table are whatever and the African Queen.
I might have said it that one time, but I know I didn't make it up because I was the out in Africa.
Okay, then Paul may have made it up.
I think somebody told Paul, because I don't think he ever saw
it. But you certainly took it and ran with it.
Oh, sure.
Now it's
so sure.
Well, it came up a lot.
You brought it up.
Yes.
For a graduate paper,
A-holes.
I'm trying to argue that in a group of actions, a couple of successes can outweigh a greater number of failures. The metaphor I'm trying to use is New England's 2000 draft in that it's still a successful draft because they got Brady, even though the other 9 picks didn't amount to much. Is it fair to call that draft a success?
When you got the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, I would say
that's
successful.
Well, who else was in 2000? I mean, I think there was at least one other guy that they got that was pretty good.
Adrian Clem, Patrick Pass.
Was it that was that draft?
And they get the tight ends were the next year. Not much came out of that draft class. They had the injured guy, maybe.
The linebacker.
Yeah. It's Brady. I mean, Pass was a contributor.
I think Pass is the second best player probably
so,
in the draft.
So if you were to say, if you had to say whether or not that draft was a success, I think that's questionable. I wouldn't just immediately call it a success because you got lucky and got, you know, the guy in the sixth round.
You did get a great player, though.
No, I know, but...
So you're saying one player can't carry a draft. Would you feel differently if Brady was the first-round pick?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Because then you targeted the guy, and you were successful.
It was
you know?
Dumb luck that they got they got him in the sixth
round. Clem, Redman, Robinson, Randall, Stachelski, Marriott, Antoine Harris, Tom Brady, David Nugent, Casey Tisdale, Patrick Pass.
Oh, my God.
That's a bad draft.
That's a bad draft. That's a bad draft.
That's a bad draft with a gem.
Yeah.
And a decent
He player. Bailed you out.
Yeah.
Yep. If some nut came to you and said he was going to rebuild the old man of the mountain as the New England Patriots version of Mount Rushmore, who would you select as the four faces to go up there? Brady and Belichick are two obvious choices. So for the sake of interesting discussion,
Kraft.
Please suggest a couple of alternates.
Doesn't Kraft have
Kraft,
to be in there?
Kraft is in there.
He saved the team.
Yeah.
Kraft, Brady, and Belichick are three.
Save the team and
so
get
need,
a first round
for
pick
one
to
other.
Get Belichick.
One other. Tippett.
Tippett's up there. He's legit.
Certainly in the mix.
Yep. I mean, I know a lot of people on here would probably say Brewski, but...
No.
No. No, not better than Tippett.
No.
No, I know he's not, but...
And I give Tippett credit. I don't know if this is fair. If we're putting together an organizational... I mean, he's still here. He's still part of the organization. He's the face of the community.
Troy Brown is considered Mr. Patriot.
But he's not in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not. John Hanna is.
He is, but he's done less for the organization than Andre has.
True.
I think Tippett would be the fourth. I think that's a good pick.
Okay.
And he's done things in all walks of the organization.
Maybe it's just a three-face mountain. Maybe you don't go past that.
No, well, Marshmore's four faces.
Yeah.
I know. But,
legitimately, yeah, it's three, and then, sorry, Tip, you're next in line kind of thing. Because he wasn't.
Yeah.
It'd be better if he had been in this team.
Ken Flanders? No.
No.
Okay.
Lou Imbriano.
Fred Kirsch.
And also, Dan wants to know, did Eric rock the pith helmet, or is he more of an Indiana Jones bullwhip type?
More the Indiana Jones type thing.
Did you wear a hat?
Yeah.
I would hope so.
A safari hat?
Yeah.
I think if not,
they gave us all. They gave us all one.
Which kind? Which kind of safari hat?
The one where you... kind of like the Crocodile Dundee one, only it's like... You can like attach the ends up to the
okay,
top if you want, or you can loosen them so you have the
I like
brim
those.
Protection.
Those are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you still have it? You'd have to
give
it back?
No, they gave them to us.
Oh, I'm sure he paid for it.
Well,
do you have,
I didn't
like,
have to pay for it when they gave it to me.
Like, do you have like now a whole wardrobe of clothes that were for that you now have?
Like those tan, like...
Yeah, everything khaki.
But I already had those kind of clothes. I already had, you know, khaki shorts and pants and, you know, polo shirts and...
Right.
My waffles. I wore I went with my boots and I had
broke back boots.
And I had a pair of Nikes and one other pair of sneakers.
Should have probably traded the Nikes. Aren't they big over there?
I don't know.
Probably could have got a woman for the Nikes.
I still say that if you wanted to, you could have arranged for some companionship.
What do they call that? A Nubian goddess.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be a nice way to just end the night? You know, she walks in, you know, have your way, and she leaves?
Yeah, but it would be premature. He'd have to prep or something. Oh, I'm done. Come back later.
All right. See now. You know?
It's been a little
local flavor.
You guys can't ruin my wonderful memories, no matter how hard you try.
Bastardize them.
Shyler, pronounced Skyler. I get that there is like a 0% chance of this happening, but what about telling Tlaib, what about letting Tlaib go and going all out for in a trade for Revis? What do you think the price difference between the two would be, and do you think it would be worth it?
Huge. And yes, it would be worth it, but, well, I don't know if yes, it'd be worth it if they have to sign him to a $15 million a year contract, but they're not going to trade him to you. They're not going to trade within the division.
Yeah.
They don't even want to trade within the conference.
You'd have to like do a three-way where Tampa Bay gets them and then you trade with Tampa Bay or something like that.
Yeah. Is that even legal?
I don't know. Huh. John of Pennsylvania says, the African Queen was started by Paul. I thought it was great. Funny as hell. It seems Fred also liked it because he used it more.
Ah, okay.
They listen, Fred. People listen.
This is a groundswell of people coming
I never denied using it.
Now we're going to have to go back and play the beginning of the show where he denied using it a lot. You said you only used it in emails.
Well, when it came up, I would use it.
You led the show with it.
That one time.
It was only four shows. At least one of them we've proven you led the show with it.
Let's see. Joel says, Adalius Thomas messed it up for all Patriots players who try to sign a new deal. Welker and Tlaib need to thank Adalius. I don't think
so. He was
so.
A free agent from another team. They didn't mess that up.
Remember that guy mentioned the Deadspin with Buddy Nix and Mark Dominic? The Deadspin story that the other guy was talking about.
You didn't say that before, Buddy Nix.
I said Nix and Dominic.
Oh.
So that's who they are, I guess.
They're GMs.
Yeah, I know. Former GMs, right? Right? Are they still GMs?
I think they're
Buddy
still.
Buddy Nix? No, he's...
He's not the Buffalo GM?
I thought they got rid of him.
I don't think so. They got rid of the coach.
Oh, you might be right.
And Mark Dominic
was Tampa, yeah.
And he's still there?
I don't know. You were at the Combine. Who was the Tampa Bay representative?
Greg Schiano.
Just him?
I think so.
Let's see. The Deadspin story that the other guy was talking about is that someone secretly recorded a phone conference. Oh, okay. It's not a show. Someone secretly...
I was envisioning like Toucher and Rich.
Right.
You just said a name of
That's
a show.
That's what I thought. It secretly recorded a phone conversation between Buddy Nix and Mark Dominic. It is worth a read and worth a listen. They talk about free agency, and Nix complains about Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we can get that up on the air, Kevin. Oh, he's busy. He's not listening.
Quick update for you from the Twitter sphere. We talked about Desmond Bryant earlier. According to Karen Garigian, quote, as of now, Patriots no longer in mix for Oakland DL Desmond Bryant.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth.
Peter in Melbourne has now the conversation transcribed.
Okay.
So it contains them bitching about the legal tampering period, none of their guys signing, etc. Dominic says all the three-day rule does is give leverage to the agents to ask for more money. Nix agrees and says the thing to do is fight to get this done away with. Nix says we're still struggling here with our quarterback. We're not really struggling. He's going to have to do something, or will have to. Nix on Fitzpatrick, we just can't afford to pay that kind of money for a guy who's fighting for probably a backup job. Anyway, it's fun, even though it's probably a crime. Keep up the great work. Did the U.S. have? Oh, did the U.S. have daylight savings because you're an hour earlier than usual? Yes, we did.
Yes, we sprung ahead.
Yep.
Who secretly recorded this conversation?
I don't know.
Somebody who's
Jimmy Carter's grandson or something.
Jimmy Carter's grandson.
He's the guy that famously recorded the 47% thing from
from the election.
Yeah, he got it. He didn't record.
Oh, really?
He procured it.
I didn't know that either.
Yemi from Texas, Fred.
Which means it may or may not be true.
Oh, it's quite true. Yemi from Texas, Fred. You should have asked Paul to leave the show last Thursday after he said there was little skill involved in Welker catching passes. Such idiocy should not be allowed on Patriots radio. Also, Paul can no longer say fans are stupid. He showed himself to be a foolish person last Thursday.
He said that direct quote.
Yep.
What was the context?
He said there's little skill involved in catching the type of passes Welker catches.
The types of, meaning the short, over the middle,
that's
route,
how he's...
slant type things.
But he takes into no consideration getting open.
Right.
Getting hit.
The threat of getting hit, which affects other receivers, clearly, like Hernandez.
I mean, if there was no skill involved, everybody would be doing it.
And he thinks so. He thinks he's just an average run-of-the-mill guy.
Right, and they got
Who
into
catches
it.
100 passes every year.
They got into a huge one.
You know what I do. And I didn't know you thought he was a bottom-of-the-roster guy. And he goes, I didn't say he was a bottom of... Well, guys with little skill aren't at the bottom of the roster. I just assumed they were.
Well, I didn't tell you. The next day, Paul came to my office because he was still thinking about it. He goes, usually he doesn't get into my skin. Yesterday, he got under my skin.
Really?
He really did it yesterday. He pushed my button. He got under my skin yesterday.
See, that's the best part of him. I literally hadn't thought of that until you just
brought
it up.
Right.
He goes home and he's like driving in his car, gripping the steering.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to die. That's not healthy. Combined with the diet, that kind of stress or whatever is not healthy.
He grew up in a lifetime of sports arguments with his brother. So these things are like part of his nature. And like he
but
never
he gets
gives
to,
up.
Takes them way too much to heart.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't give up.
No pun
that's
intended.
That's funny.
Wow.
Because usually I don't let these things get to me, but yesterday he got to me. And he walks into my office, you know, usually getting out of a seat means it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Just getting up out of the seat is a big deal.
Right, right.
You know what I'm bringing up on Thursday?
so that was last week. You missed that, Eric.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, they went at it.
How the hell did that even come up? Well, I mean, like the...
Well, we were just talking about value.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly how it went down that road.
So there's no other context to this comment. That's what he said, and that was the discussion. Because you know he's going to come back and say, you guys are completely rolling.
You guys can
say
whatever you want now and whatever. I'll be the bad guy.
Think we were just talking about the overall value to that position, and you know the skill involved, and what you know.
And so he says there's no skill involved in the types of
very
passes.
Very little skill involved.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wait a minute. The Eagles are. This isn't live, is it? It says live.
It does.
It is live.
No,
it can't be. They just did dissolve.
Okay. Because it says Eagles free agency plans. You're holding a press conference to let everybody know what your free agency plans are.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, this must.
That one must have been the announcement
state
when they hired.
State
him,
or, yeah,
when they hired Chip Kelly.
You're talking about the Eagles on, what's that, ESPN?
NFL.com is already in a live free agent period type thing. They have a
countdown clock.
What else are they going to do?
Well, no, they should.
This
they definitely
is what they
should
do.
Right. This is where they should blow everybody else out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But ESPN's doing it too. They're doing NFL 32, then NFL Live, then a Sports Center special, and I'm just going to laugh if nothing happens. 12 hours in, and nothing to report yet. Back to you.
Brandon from Cali. Haven't listened to you guys since the Texans win. But I was curious on how the whole signing bonus thing works, because I was looking at a lot of the Patriots' salary, and they would have a high signing bonus but a low base salary.
That's how the NFL works generally.
Yeah, not just here at the Patriots.
The money you get that matters is
the bonus.
It's
your signing bonus, because you get it all at once, and for the team, they get to spread it out over the life of your contract.
Right, and that's why at
for
times,
accounting purposes.
The higher salaries are in the back end of deals, and you get cut because
mm-hmm. that team
they don't
want to
pay
you
that
much.
8, 9, 10, 12, 15,
they've already
15,
given you what
whatever.
They thought you were worth.
Right. It's all about the general rule in the NFL is the signing bonus and the first 3 years of money. Because with the signing bonus, it makes you tough to cut in those early years of the contract.
Chris Ferreira writes in. He says, for the listener on Kindle Fire, he can go to m.patriots.com and we'll be able to listen live.
What is m.patriots.com?
No,
mobile,
but I think if you just go to patriots.com, it's going to detect.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because people should not have to know m.patriots.com. They don't speak alt.geek like Chris Ferreira. By the way, Mike Haku did a tremendous job last week filling in for Chris Ferreira while Ferreira was at, where was he, X by XX or something. Tremendous. Your shows were up faster than they've ever been. Blog entries were flying up.
Haku knows what he's doing.
Best in the business.
He did a good job, but Chris does a good job as well.
It's okay for
just
him to
as
be better.
Quickly.
We once had Drew Bledsoe, and then along came Tom Brady. He was better. We moved on. So it's okay that Haku is better. That's the way the world works.
Chris actually,
he is Brady. Chris is Bledsoe.
Chris actually taught Mike how to do it. So,
but he doesn't teach him everything because he's worried about job security. He keeps a couple in the back pocket.
Chris does a fine job. There's a lot to that job.
And Bledsoe did a fine job, right? We thought Bledsoe was great until we saw true greatness.
He's going to punch you when we go upstairs.
No, he's shaking right now. He's turning red.
He's
going to
kick you in your bad ankle.
Andy, you asked how could they have recorded that conversation between Nix and Dominic.
I think I did.
He says a prank caller did the following. He called the Bills office, asked for Nix, transferred to Nix's phone, called Dominic on line 2, merged the lines, hit mute, and enjoyed the ride.
What?
So he called the Bills office and maybe
pretended to be Mark
maybe
Dominic.
Maybe he did, and then he called Dominic on line 2
and pretended
and
to be the other guy.
The lines and hit mute.
It makes sense. I mean, conference the two together, and they
but
you
wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't one of you on the call say you know think that the other one called him?
You can be my buddy too, you know.
Okay,
oh,
thank you. All right, let's try this again. Hold on.
Hello. Buddy next, Mark Dominic.
Mark, bad count, son. I've called you back 100 times. Hey, I'm trying to. I called that number I had. And, you know, I never did get an answer machine or nothing. So, just fine. Maybe I had the wrong number.
I had the wrong number, buddy. I thought I called you back for a heartbeat. I wouldn't mess around with that.
Oh, I know you would. And that's what I figured. I had the wrong number. So, anyway, I got it in my phone. Let me get my...
All right, okay.
Glasses, number again.
All right. We're not going to listen to the whole thing.
Once upon a time, Ralph Wilson was the dink in Buffalo. Yeah, now it's Buddy Nix. Oh. I had the dang, rank, dang, dang number. And I understand. What was that? That's the guy running their franchise?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Do you feel good when you hear that as a bill? I don't care about the particulars. Just that. Just the way he talks and seems like an idiot.
Brian.
Oh, my God.
Brian.
It's what I said. The Patriots have been great. There's no doubt. But they're running on two legs while everybody else has only got one. I mean, they're hopping along. It's not even fair the way they are
competing. They're bringing a gun to a knife fight.
Yes.
Brian in Essex, Vermont. Hate to break it to you, Eric, but Africa's greatest mammal migration involves upwards of 8 million fruit bats who gather in the months of November and December in Zambia. He never said there weren't bats. He just said
didn't
you didn't see
any. Yeah, I didn't say there weren't any.
He just said you didn't see any.
People so relax, you people. You. Jesus.
That's your own fault. You've created this.
I have not. You have.
Josh in Arlington says, Paul was the one who made up African Queen. Fred had Out of Africa.
And then Fred used African Queen because he really liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Notice what's missing here. Andy. When Andy makes up nicknames for you or takes shots at you, when does he do it?
Yeah.
In front of you.
You're here.
Or you say it afterwards.
Eric.
Right.
Yeah. Andy said nothing all week.
You didn't make fun of me once?
No.
Make fun of me once?
I said, quote, if lions are only eating people having sex, then Eric's the safest man in Africa.
You did tell me that yesterday.
I told him that as soon as he got back.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not like you. I don't lie about it.
Okay.
You lied for like a half hour until the tape came out.
Lied about what?
You said you only said
it when you
read it.
How many times you brought it up on your own? On your own, Fred. By reading an email.
Just that one time.
Don't make listeners go back and
seriously.
Do it more.
Go ahead.
You are a liar.
I invite it.
I'm a liar.
Chris with the TIAN, you have
go
your
ahead.
Assignment.
If you could find one other time that I brought it up outside of an email
find
reading.
Every time.
I defy you.
Every other time that they find it in the four shows outside of an email, other than that one.
All we get $1,000.
No, you have to buy all of us lunch.
I like the $1,000 better.
Okay.
The $1,000?
He's on the hook for a lunch every time he said it.
Oh, boy.
That's worth
outside of
you
an
to
email.
Do that.
Outside of an email.
Yeah, okay.
You brought it up on your own, unsolicited.
Okay.
We're getting some lunches
out of this. I'm fine with it.
I bet you we do get some lunches out of this.
There's no doubt in my mind.
I'm fine with it. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire, gentleman of PFW, and I use the term quite loosely.
You should.
The contemplation of the consumption of an animal's genitals has given me pause for thought. I find myself drawing comparisons to fingernails on a chalkboard. The very thought is so repulsive as to be likened to the removal of one's own genitals for the sole purpose of providing a culinary delight to some eccentric gastronome. Men do not eat balls. If sympathy does not divert you, then empathy certainly should. Balls are meant to hang, to be adjusted, to be the source of rousing braggadocio, but not to be consumed. The only time balls should ever come close to a mouth is, well, I'm sure you can fill in the picture.
Teabagging.
Now on to other balls. What would you think about going after O.C. Umenyura? And if so, what kind of money do you think he'd be looking for?
I have no idea.
Who knows?
This market, to me, I don't know where it's... I was told it was going to be a low-end market, and now I hear $13 million a year for Mike Wallace.
That doesn't sound low to me.
Now, maybe it's only the one or two are going to get the big money. But with, as we've talked about, Harrison, Freeney, Abraham, Umenyura, the guy on the Bears I can't say, Andre Carter is out. You know, there are like 10 sack guys from the last couple of years out there. The more of those there are, right, supply and demand. Yep. More supply, less demand, money comes down, whatever. I would like Umenyura a lot, and I don't see how you'd have to pay him more than $4 million. I mean, Sean Ellis, you paid him $4 million. Mm. You wouldn't be
willing
to go.
And he didn't do anything for you.
2 years, $10 million with a couple million guaranteed or something.
Absolutely.
Now, maybe I'm way off. Maybe he's going to get $35 million. I have no idea, but I think he's...
How old is he now?
Umenyura? Hold on. I'll tell you right now. He's a free agent. So
my guess is he's right around 30. 31, 30.
Defensive. Oops, sorry.
While you're reading that, Dave in West Virginia says...
He is 31.
31. Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Andre Carter. I mean, all these guys have been making plays at those other guys.
That
were
was
older.
One that got away. We liked Andre Carter.
Well, it was an injury thing.
Yeah, I know.
But as to when he was going to be healthy.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything
really.
He really did. But, now, maybe he comes back. Would you bring him back?
Well, I'd have to put him
a
through the rigors.
A year removed from the injury,
give him another
though?
Physical and we'll take a look at him.
But, I mean, he's another one of those guys. He's ripped. He's in top shape.
And he was good here. He really played
fit
well
perfectly.
Here.
Played well.
Yeah.
You know,
would have been nice to see how he and... Jones would have worked together if he were healthy. And
I would have liked him. I know everybody poo-poos this or says it too much, but he was the consummate professional. And I that would have been a good influence on Chandler Jones, who I think is very strong in that area. I think he was brought up the right way. I think there's a lot he does that is already natural to him, but couldn't have hurt to have a guy like Andre Carter around.
Dave in West Virginia, Julian Edelman has been linked to the Cleveland Browns. I'd like to hear your thoughts on how much you think he will get on the open market, and what do you think he will get if he resigns with the Patriots?
Not a bunch. I mean,
open market, is he $4 million?
$4 or $5 million, maybe?
I don't even think he that much.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot.
That is kind
but
of
they
a
have
lot.
A lot of money to spend, and Massacoy and Cribbs are both free agents for them. You know,
so
they bring him in as their returner
Cribbs.
And their, you know, slot receiver type. And as I'm pretty sure they have like $50 million to spend. So if they give $4 million a year to Wes Welker, it's a drop in the bucket.
You got to expect that he's not going to play 16 games, though.
That's
based
true.
Based on his history.
Plus, he's a Cleveland guy, right? Not Cleveland guy, but Kent State.
He played
State.
In Ohio, yeah.
So he got a little familiarity.
He
loves Dix.
From Cali.
The stadium.
Yes.
Nothing
yes.
about, you know, yes. balls and anything like that.
No balls?
What was it? Men don't eat balls.
All right, well.
That's a good line right there.
2 o'clock.
That's it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We welcome back Eric, who didn't get eaten, and he is back in the fold. We assume Paul might have more
Paul might have more trouble getting
home. Eric.
Yeah,
I hope
Paul
he's back
from Richmond
Thursday.
Might be tougher to get back than Eric from Africa. We'll see. We'll be back Thursday, and we'll find out.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.